is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
Yeah, as far as the Bucks go, certainly if you say trick or treat, obviously wasn't a treat for the Bucks yesterday. What did Bruce Arians say? What did he say at the presser afterward? That it was an embarrassing piece of crap fest? Was that the exact quote? Do we have the audio of that? Embarrassing piece of crap fest? They played like schnit.
It wasn't their best game. That's for sure.
Embarrassing display of football.
That was the quote, right? Yeah, he said. He didn't say crap fest, right?
I was like, oh, he's been listening to you.
Yeah, the old crap fest going on.
He wanted to say that.
Yeah, so certainly not a treat for the Bucks. What was the score for 36-27? Yeah, so, wow. And then Jameis Winston, former Buccaneer quarterback, he goes down. And what are they saying? He could have a pretty serious leg injury, knee injury?
And afterwards, you saw Arians talk to Sean Payton, the coach of New Orleans Saints, and he was like, you could see him say what happened, and he just shook his head like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. So not a good injury for Jameis Winston.
Yeah, all I heard was my neighbor has a TV in the garage, so... You know, we're outside doing the trick-or-treating thing. You know, we just hang out in the driveway with a table. And in years gone by, I used to, like, pay an intern. remember those days?
Yeah, the interns used to fight over who would be the one to have the privilege of passing out candy at MJ's house.
Yeah, so I would like, pay an intern to come to the house and just sit out in the driveway and hand out candy. I don't want the doorbell ring, and I'm not going to leave the little gate open and let people, you know, walk up to the door and knock. I don't want them on the front porch. So who just snickered?
I snickered. What? Speaking of Snickers, I had 7 this morning. I don't feel good. I don't feel so right.
Why'd you give me a...
Well, just because it's like I won't let people on your porch? What, are you crazy?
No, I don't want to have to get up and answer the door. So listen, the neighbor said, hey, let's just set tables up, you know, on the driveway. And, you know, the wives kind of got together holding wine glasses. And, you know, we just hung out for a couple hours, you know, during prime trick-or-treating time, which, well, the Buccaneers game happened to be on during prime trick-or-treating time. But I was talking about my neighbor next door. He has, like, a little workout set up in his garage.
Yeah, because that's real classy. The guy that has the solo flex and the bench press in his garage.
This is my new elliptical. You want to give it a test?
So my neighbor's got a little gym set up in the garage, and he's got a TV out there in the garage as well. And all I kept hearing was, son of a... You know, just cursing, and the kids are trick-or-treating. I'm hearing the F-bomb fly from the garage.
You didn't have to watch the game. You heard all the plays from him.
Trick-or-treat! And then the... You know, let me put my finger on the dump button over here. I might, you know, accidentally spill some of the profanity. So I got the S-bomb, I got the F-bomb, I got damn it, I got all kinds of son of a, you know, coming from the garage next door. I got a little 5-year-old girl in a Tinkerbell outfit. I got F-bomb, F-bomb, you know, coming from next door. Because, you know, his family was like also in the driveway, and he's just right inside the garage watching the Bucks game, so...
Good thing he had all that equipment right next to him so he could, you know, burn a little energy.
Yeah, so volume, we'll get into this in more detail later on. Volume, definitely more kids than COVID trick-or-treating last year, but still, I don't think up to some of the regular volume. You know, not terrible, but we had candy left over. And Michelle's like, we're going to run out. And I got into a fight with Michelle. Didn't we have her on like a week and a half ago? We went to Target and bought the bags of candy and that whole racket with the candy prices and trying to juggle, you know, the bags of candy with the big print on it, 270 pieces, 150 pieces, 85 pieces, and trying to juggle is it the good candy? Is it the crappy candy? What's the value to cost ratio? And then how many pieces do you need? Anyway, we've got a third of the hole left over, I would say. So hang on. Remind me to call Michelle later on and give her a little bit of the business about, unless she's listening right now. Hey, Michelle, you awake right now? We didn't run out of candy.
Remind me to call Michelle later to come by and pick up some of the leftovers.
You can have it.
All right.
And those things, that's just sugar bomb calories, man. We don't need those lying around the house.
And you were giving me a hard time about going shopping for candy so late, but it was no problem. We went Saturday and there was a ton.
You know, sometimes if you, it depends on the store, but if you get to like Saturday night or even Sunday morning in this case, some of those things go on sale like 50% off or buy one, get one. And then it becomes, but you got to gamble whether the stuff's going to be available or whether you're going to end up with just the crappy candy to hand out. All right, just getting rolling. It's a busy, busy Monday. We got fun. We got games. We got creepiness this morning. I'm looking at my little rundown today. We got a lot today on a Monday. Don't move. Back in minutes. Early morons in the news on the way.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 6:16 Monday morning. What is it, November 1? Yeah, I guess yesterday was Halloween. Yeah. Roxanne just gave me a shock look. Yeah, no, listen, yesterday Halloween, it's October 31st, and today's November 1. Holy crap. Hey, so crazy story on a bizarre Halloween costume. Our costume's all normal. There was some kid in a big fat baby costume, and it was like store-bought, but it was pretty good. The kid probably was, if I were to take a normal, you know, 10-year-old boy's size, I would say he was 6 times wider. So it was like this big, giant, puffy, it was like the fat baby.
Was it like an inflatable costume?
Yeah, it was sort of inflatable-ish.
Was it a generic baby or a baby from a movie?
No, it was
just a fat baby.
Yeah, it was fat. You know, that's not quite it, Fester. Fester found some fat baby. It was like sort of an inflatable suit. So that might have been the most catchy costume I saw. Now, let me get to this, and then I got some other questions about your houses over Halloween. And your daughters, obviously, you know, they're at the age where Halloween's all exciting and everything. I don't know about your young kid, whether she has a clue, but certainly the 4.5-year-old. This is bizarre. I saw this last night while I was doing prep. My toddler wanted to be a sand dune for Halloween. What?
Wow. That's
so cute.
That is funny.
My kid wanted to be a gutter, and I was like, eh.
So, no, this got me wondering. Sand dune. Can we come up with just spontaneously off the top of our heads just bizarre Halloween costumes?
Hold on. A lava lamp.
Yeah, well, that's pretty funny.
A lava lamp. That's good. That'll burn.
Like a turd. my toddler wants to be a dirty diaper.
That would make more sense than a sand dune.
A manhole cover or something.
This is bizarre. My toddler wanted to be a sand dune for Halloween. And they decided
the other kid a tumbleweed?
They decided to go for it. Wait a minute. He wanted his siblings to be pails and the parents to be towels.
So he wanted a whole beach motif scene here. Okay.
Son of a beach. What is this kid doing to us?
I want to be a wave.
What?
What's the matter with this kid? He's got mental issues.
You know what? I was thinking about that. There's something potentially, either the kid's a genius.
Yeah, very zen.
Or the kid's a lunatic.
Like my kid, all he wants to do is be superheroes. He doesn't even know what a sand dune is.
How old do you think the kid was? When you say toddler, what ages do you consider toddler?
I say 2+ to 4+.
By the way,
I'm
still a toddler.
You're the idle one.
Kid's 3 years old.
Yeah, I think under 5.
Yeah. Yeah, under 5.
They asked their 3-year-old what he wanted to be for Halloween yesterday. And the kid said a sand dune.
I don't think he knows what he's talking
about.
Where
did the kid come up with this? I want to be a shock absorber from a absorber from a car.
Mm. I mean, wow.
Just a very obscure piece of nature. You know?
Yeah, I want to be a dishwasher. No, not like a human in the back of a restaurant cleaning off all the nasty plates that people do. But an actual appliance. Yeah, I want to be an appliance. I want to be a Whirlpool dishwasher.
How do you even be a towel?
Okay, I could probably be a towel easier than I could be a dune.
Yeah, a dune. You're changing. You're transforming. Every step you take, your sand is rolling off you.
The outfit was just basically brown and tan cloth that the mother like sewed together like lines to sort of come up with a sand.
Easy enough.
That's a hippie kid.
I found the parents' sketching of this costume.
I've got it.
The line side's actually pretty smart. It's the windswept sand lines.
But I'm wondering about the psychological health of this three-year-old. What three-year-old says, I want to be a sand dune for Halloween?
I aspire to be a sand dune. And you have to do so much explanation at every house you go to. What are you, cutie?
Oh, I'm one of those cigarette butt sand holders outside of the restaurant. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. All of these would make more sense. Than a sand dune. You're making jokes, but I'd rather see a kid dressed as an ashtray than a sand dune.
It's like an anthill would be another comparable costume.
Right, he's not talking about an ashtray. He's talking about an enclosed with little circle on top cigarette button.
Only the cigarette fits.
I was thinking of both, actually.
Oh, okay,
like,
all right.
The cigarette butt thing, if you know, some old restaurants or places, they would have like the ceramic bowl with the sand inside. And just all the jammed up cigarettes inside. Remember those?
Yeah, those are
and
my favorites.
The newer ones are like, it's the black base with the tall, like cylindrical black shaft, right? And then it's got the hole in the top. And then people put their cigarette. But why don't these things catch on fire?
Because, yeah, there's no ventilation. Okay,
there's water in the base.
Oh, there is?
And then
if
you ever have to change one. It's the most disgusting job because there's 1,000 cigarette butts in there and it's all in this
mud,
charred, tobacco-y steeped water and it's just awful. Or there's sand or there's water in there.
So am I to assume that you've actually had to change one of those cylindrical plastic cigarette butt holder things?
No, but I ran into one once and I toppled it over outside of a Circle K. It's like, for some reason,
it just fell apart.
No, it's made of like Tupperware plastic. It's designed to come apart.
It looks like a cone, basically.
But I backed into it. It was like at the end of like the walk. It was one of those old Circle K's and it had like the metal poles in front of the door, but not off to the side. And that's where the cigarette thing was. And I backed up to get to exchange my
just
propane.
Demolished
well, I backed up to back get my propane tank exchanged and I knocked it over and there's like butts and water everywhere. I'm like, oh.
Guess what the kid's second choice, 3-year-old kid, guess what his second choice was? So he wanted to be a sand dune for Halloween was his first choice. Guess what second was?
A fluorescent light fixture.
Nope. Oh, that's
not bad.
Yeah, really. I want to be a fluorescent light tube.
I mean, did the kid stay with the nature theme?
Well, sort of.
Okay.
What about a cloud?
Nope. Wanted to be a hemorrhoid.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
God. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if he had a backup plan.
That would be hilarious. That would be funny.
I'm thinking either a sand dune or a hemorrhoid, you know, like Dad has.
If a kid shows up at my house dressed as a hemorrhoid, I'm just giving them the whole bucket of candy. Thank you. Good night, everybody. We're done.
And a little preparation.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
In stereo.
We're gonna paint
this. See, we don't need to see each other.
Oh. Let me put some Preparation H on that hemorrhoid. I'll just hit him with a caulking gun. How about that?
Now that you've issued the challenge, a hemorrhoid costume would be kind of easy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, just paint the basketball red and...
Oh, stop. All right, but we're going to move on from Halloween here in just a second. Froggy, your house, anything eventful? What was the traffic like? What's the story?
The traffic was pretty slow on my end. But somebody in my neighborhood was giving away something very odd. He had a trash can full of $1 bills.
No, he didn't.
I swear to God.
What?
My kid came home with 15 $1 bills. It looked like he was at a strip club. So he had a trash can of candy and a trash can of ones. It was every kid that the one was came back with a handful of cash.
A neighbor That's was clean. Giving out $1 bills?
I didn't get it. It was out of a trash can, mind you.
All right, Fester, your house, what's the story?
We were pretty busy. I thought we were very busy for a Sunday night Halloween.
Did you take your kids out or you stayed home with your kids? What did you do?
We went out. I walked half the block with the kids, and then I went back to the house.
And the kids didn't start rolling until like 6:15, 6:30 yeah. was really the time that things... and then by like 8:30, it was done, right. over.
Yeah.
I did half the neighborhood with the kids, and I got back to the house, and my wife finished up the other half of the neighborhood, and we had very busy foot traffic.
Okay. And Rox?
We went to three different friends' family houses, and by the time we got to Aunt Jackie and Michelle's house... the kids were, it was 8:30 and Doug tried to take them to one of the houses next door to them. And they're like, we're out of candy. It's too late.
What, snapped it?
Yeah.
Wow.
At the cute little ladybug.
Yeah, that's where you teach your kids how to slash tires in the driveway.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm joking.
But so, I did see a lot of Squid Game costumes on like pretty young kids.
I saw none in my neighborhood. I was wondering, no Squid Game whatsoever. And then quickly, what happened at your house though? Did you guys have the lights off?
We had the lights on and we had a table outside and I would say maybe a third of the candy was gone.
Really? You came home and there was still candy left?
A lot. Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's rare. Usually the table's gone, the bowl's gone, it's all gone. They take everything.
I know.
Even the garden hose is gone. All right, 6:25, we got morons in the news early edition next, MJ Morning Show.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 6:34, rolling up on 6:35. And with the morons in the news, I think it's kind of rare. I think it's the exception to the rule when we don't have local morons in the news stories. Most of the time we've got certainly Florida, but a lot of times right here in the Tampa Bay area, I'll give you a case in point right off the bat. Early,
we grow them here.
Yeah, we do. Bumper crop, usually. Matter of fact, not many drought years on morons in the news here in the Tampa Bay area. Pasco County, where's that? No, I'm kidding.
Never heard of it.
So, out of Pasco, oh man, a TikToker. Well, you know, they do stupid stuff. These people, these kids, these teenagers, these Generation Z, even Coop's age, young people. Coop, you're what, 23?
I'm 23 and three quarters, actually.
When do you turn 24?
December 8th.
Wow, look at that. Oh, you missed December 7th by one day.
Yeah, and December 9th, I was too early for that one. What's December 7th? I don't know what December 7th is.
Oh, my, really? Now, I was wondering about this. Now, I tossed this out, and I was wondering...
I mean, I might have an idea, but I don't see why you'd mention it.
What do you think December 7th is?
Is that Pearl Harbor Day?
Yes!
Oh, okay.
Yes!
I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say, oh, you missed Pearl Harbor Day by a day.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm just saying that is a milestone date in American history. Why are you giving me a look of horror?
I'm giving myself a look of horror because I just cheered in an awkward way when Coop guessed Pearl Harbor.
I'm glad he knew the historical fact, but
yeah.
I mean, it's like being born on September 10th. I'm like, oh, you're too bad.
Coop, where's Froggy? Where does he go? He's not even in the studio.
Froggy has a minor medical issue right now. On Friday's show, he did his stunt, or the Scrizzle stunt, and he really clocked his head.
He did.
That lump on the back of his head is not stopping. It hasn't gone down.
You said not. Is that because there is a knot there, a K-N-O-T, and not a N-O-T?
Yeah, well, the knot is not stop growing. Anyway, it's still big.
What do you have, a stroke over there?
He still has. There's two knots. Right. So I had to pause.
No, it's warming up.
It was a very awkwardly phrased sentence. It was like, you're just learning English over there.
We're attempting to be a little funny on the show. Okay, we're trying to entertain somebody out there. Anyway, he has this big lump in the back of his head, and he wore the wrong ball cap into the studio, and the band was pressing on his lump. Right. He's like, dude, I've got the worst headache. My head is killing me. I have to go. Switch hats. And then he walked out of the building to his car to switch ball caps.
And he hasn't come back.
That was like 8 minutes ago.
Maybe he was mugged in the parking lot.
We could only hope.
Coop, the video, by the way, of Froggy, is that front and center and prominent on MJMorningShow.com?
Front and center. You can see it right now and on our Instagram at MJMorningShow.
All right, so the video from Froggy's performance, Froggy as Skrizzle, his little alter ego, brand new Halloween song was on Friday's show, and then it culminated in one of his famous after-performance stunts, which he climbed up on a ladder, which that never happens. Okay, it happens in every bit. So Froggy climbs up on a ladder. First, he takes a reasonable-sized pumpkin and slams it onto Fester's crotch as Fester's lying down on a table. Then Froggy proceeds to do a flying acrobatic stunt through the air onto the table behind Fester.
But it was a lunge, really.
Onto a whole table full of Halloween decorations. And then in the process, Froggy clip the corner of the countertop in here and poof, just slammed his head. And hey, see the video. The video's up. If you missed the song, which song was pretty funny about Halloween candy and trick-or-treating. If you missed the song and then the subsequent performance and Fester getting slammed in the crotch with a pumpkin, the video is up at MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. All right, so where were we? Oh, cool. By the way, when I was asking about December 7th and you being born on December 8th, do you have any idea who was the president? Who was the president when Pearl Harbor occurred?
Oh, man, was it somebody weird like Grover Cleveland? No one ever guesses Grover Cleveland.
Grover Cleveland was in the 1800s.
Okay, President Hoover.
Well, Hoover, that's better. At least you're getting into the 1900s. Hoover was the president just prior to this president.
JFK? No. I don't know. I'm not good with my president timeline.
It was three other initials, though.
FDR?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I was going to say, you never heard of PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Oh, that stuff is good.
Yeah, it's FDR. And what was FDR's famous line regarding Pearl Harbor?
Don't attack us again.
No.
I mean, he might have said that.
Professor, would you like to do the honors? What was his famous, regarding Pearl Harbor, his famous line was what?
Something like, all right, after fear. It's fair sound.
He did say that, but no, it's a day that will live in infamy.
Today is a day that will live in infamy.
All right, so where was
I? Like the time I saw Eleanor naked.
So,
the infamous Eleanor naked day.
Oh, the humanity. All right, so the TikToker, this all started because we were talking about a TikToker, and it doesn't matter whether it's a teenage TikToker, the millennial generation, even into the 30s, people are doing just stupid things on TikTok. A Pasco County TikToker described as a social media influencer. I hate influencers. We've had this discussion. I don't like, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an influencer. Oh, great. Fantastic. So on Friday, a Pasco County TikToker was doing a burnout, threw a red light, and it was done right in front of an officer. A burnout, threw a red light right in front of a cop. Police say that Damori Makula, known for his influencer accounts on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram.
You know what else I hate aside from influencer is I hate when people say they're TikTok famous. You ever hear that one?
I have not heard that.
But so this guy is TikTok famous.
I'll trust you. So he was on State Road 54 up in Pasco. He pulls up to a red light. He's driving a Dodge Challenger. It was a gray Dodge Challenger. The Florida Highway Patrol via Channel 8 says that Makula's right turn signal was on. His windows were down. As he glances over at an officer waiting in traffic a few cars behind, video from the FHP shows the gray Challenger doing a burnout through the intersection, smoking tires. Police say that Makula was clearly showing an exhibition of speed when he took evasive action and continued to accelerate well past 100 miles an hour, apparently with full knowledge that there was a state trooper, there was a highway patrol cop there.
Do it for the views, bro.
I'd say the best thing that WFLA did, MJ, was they put a link straight to his TikTok. Now he's blowing up, man.
Of course, this is all he wanted.
4.1 million followers.
This guy has 4.1 million followers.
And he just posts comedy and lip sync videos.
And apparently he does burnouts in front of Florida Highway Patrol troopers on State Road 54 in Pasco.
You got to think about it, you know. From the money he's going to make from that video, he could pay for the ticket. He's fine.
My God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So he actually looks in the direction of the officer. So he had to know the cop was there. Man, there's a cop there. I'm going to burn out. I'm going to accelerate to 100 miles an hour. Man, with the cop there, and if he lights me up, if he puts the, you know, the lights and the sirens on.
Even better.
Oh, man, it's good. Man, my TikToks, I'm going to go from 3 million followers to 4.1 million followers, you know?
And it worked. I've got terrible news. Oh, no. Damari just posted a TikTok a while ago.
Yeah.
That he'll be taking a break.
Oh, really?
He needs time to get his mind right.
Now, when did he post this? Like over the week?
It's the last post.
Oh, so this is the last
this
one.
This is the last video he put.
Mental issues, got to take a break.
Now, can we play this, you think?
I
just play it.
I would guess we could, but I don't know. I don't know how much I trust Damari.
All right, hold on a second.
He's distraught. He's not going to curse.
Well, I've got a dump button here.
Okay. Well, let's let it roll.
All right, well, hit pause. Go back to the beginning and go back to the very beginning. Here we go.
Pause. Okay, so.
Well, hold on. Is it just music? What do you have? Do you have another thing up?
No, everything's to music. He says, I'm taking a break. I need to get my mind right. Thank
but
you guys.
He's talking into the camera. But that's the music?
Yeah, that's what they do on TikTok. They play the music and they put the caption up.
That's stupid. I know I've seen this, but I've also seen people talking on TikTok.
Yeah, what? He doesn't talk?
He needs time to get himself together?
No, that's on the TikTok app.
Start making decisions as a grown man, not a little boy. Like peeling out in front of the cops.
So it says, I'll be taking a break. I need time to get my mind back right. Thank you guys for providing me with a platform to share my lives. To share my lives? How many lives does he have with millions of others? It's just that life is hitting me too fast. I need time to get myself together and start making decisions as a grown man and not a little boy. This is the guy that did the 100-mile-hour burnout in front of a state trooper, Florida Highway Patrol in Pasco on State Road 54.
MJ, are you looking at the story where you can see his mugshot? Because I've been trying to find it online. What is that tattoo on his neck? Is it a wheel? Is it a?
I'm not looking at his mugshot. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have it in front of me.
Him being such the influencer, Roxanne, you could probably schedule a media interview and ask him.
Okay.
What is that on your neck?
A brush junket for his tag.
Is it a burning out tire?
According to Trooper, Trooper W. Kelly said that his state of mind was that he's young, makes a lot of money, has a fast car, and that he can do whatever he wants. That's what the trooper said of him. So shortly after FHP arrived at his home, because they had his license plate number, he takes off. They don't pursue him, apparently, at 100 miles an hour, but they know his address from his tag number. So the cops show up, and he was arrested nearly immediately without incident. So here's another TikTok turd, a TikTok moron. According to cops, Makula told the cops that he blogs his life on social media, earns approximately $400,000 to $500,000 per year.
Good for him.
Adding that he saw officers attempting to stop him, but he thought the interaction would be over if he got away.
What kind of car does it say?
Yes, I said that. Oh, you just came back in the studio. It was a Dodge Challenger.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if it was like one of the Hemis or what is the Hellcat, right?
The Hellcat's the big one. Yeah. The Scat Pack. They have a couple different.
The what?
The Scat Pack? What?
Dodge has a couple different engine trim levels.
Is that real? Is that a real name?
The Scat Cat?
I think so. Scat. Well.
So, Mr. McCullough advised his state of mind was that he's young, makes a lot of money, blah, 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 does whatever he wants. And that seems to be indicative of what he put on his final TikTok post right now.
I'm just going to count my cash and chill. I'll be back, dudes.
Mr. McCullough advised that he wanted to do something fun for 3 seconds for TikTok.
That's it. That's all you got to come up with is 3 seconds.
Yeah, he's going to jail. He's going to go to jail on this. What a dope.
There's something that happens to young men in jail for 3 seconds that's not appropriate for TikTok. There's nothing.
A lot of time to think about content in jail.
A lot of time.
Guess you're right. So I have an additional pile here. I'm not going to get to everything, so let me get one more moron in, and then either we'll do it in the next segment, or I'll push it to later on. But it's a jammed up Monday. But I thought it was important to talk about that Pasco putz, you know, with his Dodge Challenger. Hey, look at this: Pennsylvania woman facing a criminal charge. What'd she do? She smacked another woman in the back of the head with cold chicken at Walmart.
That's the way, man. Chicken justice has not risen to the level of prominence that I hoped it would have in this country.
Now, cold or frozen chicken?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference.
Frozen chicken will kill you.
Oh, son of
a... I'm guessing just cold, right? Yeah, just like a little, nice splatter of salmonella.
Well, cold chicken, probably in that little package where it's got the foam tray bottom and the cellophane on top.
Yeah, you know,
the
not plastic wrap. Damage.
Chicken's usually in like the yellow styrofoam.
Police say that Tahoni Ficus.
Oh, Mrs. Ficus.
Tahoni Ficus, 20 years old, earlier this month.
Please call me Tony.
Threw a cold chicken at Kimberly Pittman, 52, while the women were inside a Walmart in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. The chicken struck Pittman in the back of the head, according to the state police in Pennsylvania. Unclear what prompted the alleged poultry attack. What, would they have some altercation in the Walmart? They had words? So this woman in the supermarket section grabs a package of cold chicken and just slams the woman in the back of the head?
Did Ficus just hit me with chicken?
Hey, what do you want for lunch? How about some chicken?
Mrs. Ficus, relax.
Was it boned?
I don't know whether I don't know if it was bone in or bone out. I don't know if it was a package of boneless breasts. Anyway,
that would hurt more if there were bones in there, right?
Ficus and Pittman are not related. Police say court records do not indicate whether either even works at Walmart. Ficus was named in a criminal citation. This was late last week. She's been charged with harassment, physical contact. Anyway, she was busted last year and convicted. Forged check placed on probation for 9 months.
Jeez. Oh, that's nothing.
I'm guessing the chicken attack is going to be a violation of that probation. And she could have a problem. And if she goes to prison, she's pretty cute. She's going to be finger-licking good.
If you think about the chicken.
Prison.
If you think about the chicken aisle, there's probably better chickens to hit somebody with that'll hurt, do more damage than soft, cold chicken.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, rolling up on 7 o'clock here on a Monday morning. Did you guys hear my tease a moment ago? Roxanne, you were in the studio, but I think Froggy Fester, when I was coming out of the commercial break, I teased what was coming up next here. And it is a shortage of a particular item that is hurting a business. And I had no idea about this. And I'm just curious, are there any folks listening that have heard the same exact thing? So we're hanging out. Halloween night, last night, we're hanging out with the neighbors. We all have our table set up in the driveway so, you know, all the kids don't have to ding-dong, 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 you know, ring the doorbell every 3 seconds. So we kind of just do the preemptive thing. We just set up the table in the driveway. We hang out, neighbors all chatting with each other. And I heard this from Steve, one of my neighbors last night, that their dry cleaner might have to shut down.
Oh, no.
Do you have this? Their dry cleaner might have to shut down. Why do you think a dry cleaner might have to shut down because of supply chain issues? What do you think the problem is?
Okay, I think I know the answer.
Cleaning sheets, obviously.
The what?
The little sheets that you throw in there to make it smell good?
They don't use dryer sheets.
No. I'm not talking about your clothes dryer at the house, Frog. I'm talking about a dry cleaner.
They don't use those?
No, they don't.
Why wouldn't they? It smells delightful.
Yeah, the dry cleaner's just putting
But that's actually a good idea.
They're putting bounce sheets inside your...
I mean, I don't know what.
Maybe if you use like the wash, dry, fold service, they would use it.
Fester, what do you think is affecting dry cleaners right now to the point where my neighbor said that their dry cleaner said, we don't know what to do. We might have to close down.
I use a dry cleaner every week. And I'm at the dry cleaner pretty often.
I'm at the dry cleaner.
Okay. For your Hawaiian shirt.
And they ask me.
Where's the crown?
They ask me every time if I could bring back the white wire hangers.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
100%
and they've
right.
They've never asked me that before. And I have hundreds of them at the house.
When did this start?
6 months ago.
Yep.
White wire hangers?
Well, you have the wire inside, but typically you've got the white paper over the wire hanger.
Yeah, I was going to guess is the paper.
There's plenty of paper.
Hold on a second.
That was my guess.
Froggy, is your head okay?
I was just saying on the hanger. I didn't even think of the hanger.
You've always had problems, but
always.
Since you smashed your head on the countertop.
Oh, it was a horrible weekend.
Since you smashed your head on the countertop doing Friday's performance, folks, the video's up at MJMorningShow.com. MJMorningShow.com. Froggy jumps off the ladder, throws the pumpkin into Fester's crotch, then jumps onto a table, collapses the table filled with Halloween decorations. But as he came down, Froggy clips the side of the countertop where all the broadcast equipment is.
It was a tough one.
And it's almost acting, you're acting like you have a head injury.
It's been a slow weekend, but I'll come around.
So my dry cleaner uses a white wire hanger, and then they put 4 or 5 shirts in like a clear plastic bag.
Well, that's typically what dry cleaners do.
There's no extra paper involved in my dry cleaner.
If you have multiple items, each shirt typically has its own hanger, then they'll bundle it together sometimes with a wire tie and then put it in the sleeve of plastic wrap.
But they've asked me, hey, by the way, if you can remember, they didn't say you have to or they didn't charge me extra for the hangers. At least I don't think they did.
Right.
But they said, hey, if you can remember, if you have any at home, we can use the wire hangers.
Or you know what they could start to do? They could have you bring your own hangers from home when you go to pick up your dry cleaning.
My neighbor, he said that he had a conversation with his dry cleaner last week and the dry cleaner said they cannot get wire hangers. They might not be able to stay open because they don't have anything to put the clothes on. So I'm thinking the dry cleaners really need to make an even stronger plea to customers to bring back the wire hangers that your dry cleaning comes in on. And, from that movie, I'm thinking that I know who could bring some wire hangers back.
No wire hangers ever!
Fester, I feel bad for your place because just the sheer amount of cloth that you are presenting to them on a weekly basis must put them out of business. Like, we don't have enough water, sir.
No. If I don't come that week to their place, they call me and they're like, sir, we have to pay the bills here. We need to dry clean your tent size shirt.
When was the last time your dry cleaner asked you to bring the hangers back?
It was like a reminder.
Do they have a sign?
They have a sign. They have a receiver for the hangers that the hangers fit in perfectly.
Yeah.
If I wanted to bring them back, I could just drop them off there. And I've seen other dry cleaners that have actually put it on their marquee out in the street.
Bring your wire. Let's go to phones on this. Folks, Has your dry cleaner asked for the hangers back? Have you had any conversation with your dry cleaner that they're in trouble because of the supply issues, because of COVID-19, the supply chain issues? I would imagine a lot of these wire hangers probably made in China, and how many wire hangers are probably sitting in cargo containers? You know, they got 600,000-800,000 cargo containers stuck on ships offshore in California. Wonder how many wire hangers for dry cleaners.
The answer is half of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah, half the hangers used by dry cleaners come from Asia. And then there's another problem because, you know, the little white tubing that they have for trousers?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For
so,
pants?
Yeah. So you have the, you know, let me give out the number here.
Okay.
Folks, who the hell, what are you laughing at?
No, Roxy. Okay, give out the number. Right. That's a good idea.
Go ahead. The hell thought that wire hangers at the dry cleaner were going to be such a problem? And dry cleaners might have to close because they don't have wire hangers.
Just make it out of tree branches. Do whatever you got to do.
800-990-1047. Hey, if you're a dry cleaner, call us. 800-990. Hey, if you're McNatt. Give us a call if you're McNatt. Hey, if you're Eddie. From Eddie's Dry Cleaners. That's another one.
Yeah, right. Hey,
if you're a dry, or if you're a customer. Has your dry cleaner said, please bring back your wire? And people have tons of these things. People do have tons of these wire hangers at their house.
My last pickup, I told my wife that she put them all in a box and I brought them back like 200 of them.
Wow. Well, that'll help them for a day, maybe.
Maybe.
All right, 800-990-1047. If you have experienced the wire hanger deal at your dry cleaner, if they're asking you, please bring us your wire hangers back. We don't have any wire hangers. They're all sitting on ships. Supply chain issues. They're off the coast of California. They're made in China. All right. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Wire hanger problem. I had no idea until I found out about this because I don't spend much time at the dry cleaner. However, the dry cleaner that we use, they have that like the track that goes up into the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I love that thing, man. That mesmerizes me. I'm like hypnotized.
Dude, if you lose like 35 pounds, they could give you a ride.
They have that remote control device. They push the button and it's like it's the dry cleaning roller coaster. I think the one at our dry cleaner on MacDill, I think they've got a steeper drop than any of the roller coasters at Busch Gardens.
It makes you so happy because your clothes are having so much fun.
Oh, look at the phones. All right, so any dry cleaner wire hanger issues that you've encountered, 800-990-1047, 800-990-1047. John is in Clearwater. Hi, John. You're on the MJ Morning Show.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Hey, John, what's up?
No, I was just calling in to let you know that, I work over here in Pinellas County, and the dry cleaner that my employer uses is having the same issue, and she's been making a plea to get all the wire hangers returned, and she is saying that some of the other people that she knows that have businesses similar are having to shut their doors.
See, that's what Steve told me. My neighbor Steve said that his dry cleaner, and I think it might be Eddie's, Dry Cleaning, one of the South Tampa locations, that they said that they can't get wire hangers. They might have to close the doors because they don't have wire hangers. John, if you don't mind me asking, who's your employer?
I work for the city of Largo in the police department.
Oh, so the dry cleaner that does a lot of the police uniforms?
Yes.
Yeah. Every time I go to the dry cleaner, you can see other people's stuff, and I see several
like sheriff's deputies. Yeah, look at that. So do you have to pay for your own dry cleaning, or does the city have an account?
They have an account for us as part of the contract, but the lady's very concerned that they might have to start making other arrangements.
Yeah. All right, John, let's be careful out there. Thanks for listening, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right. Another John. John is in Tampa. John on line 6. Hi, John. You're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning. I'm actually from Tallahassee, but I noticed that a couple weekends ago, I went to Publix, and there's a dry cleaning business right there at the end of Publix, and that's where I always park. and I saw probably 300, 400 hangers just sitting right by the door, and I had no idea why until the information you just gave.
That's what people are dropping off the hangers to dry cleaners. Folks, let's help dry cleaners out. Dry cleaners are very important. You know, you get a big stain. You're at a wedding, you're a slob. Fester's a slob 24-7 with whatever he wears.
I can't call Zero Res for my shirt.
Yeah.
Well, we should have a wire hanger drive.
You know what? A wire. We ought to have a tote board like for Jerry's kids or something.
Please, you know, help the dry cleaners.
We ought to do like a dry cleaner hanger drive. John, great call. Thank you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Right, one of my friends hit me up. Walt Disney World needs them, too. Maybe we should do a drive for them as well.
They have
wire hangers that they hang all the costumes on. They're asking their employees to bring them back.
No, they can make their own.
They have mice in the back room making those hangers.
So the bottom line is dry cleaners all over the country are not saying
no wire hangers ever.
They're saying, bring us your wire hangers now.
Me and my kids watched that movie just to prove how great of a parent I was.
What?
Your kid's like five.
Wait, you showed your kid. That movie's like from the 80s.
Oh,
You showed your kids Mommy Dearest?
Yeah, I said, look, this is how you could have got mommy like this.
Really? That movie's terrifying.
But you
is
got
it
a
R?
Good mommy.
That movie has to be rated R.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. My kid said no to meat one time. And I showed him that movie.
Holy,
never again.
You showed your kids that movie, too.
It's a part of growing up.
It's like a rite of passage of hey, you better be grateful, you son of a...
The movie is Mommy Dearest, and it's about, like, the actress Joan Crawford, who is, like, way before our time.
And it's Faye Dunaway who plays her, right?
Yeah, and she was just a psychopath. She's just...
Classic.
It's R-rated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so? Yeah. My kid has seen the first three seasons of Sopranos. Yeah. Big deal.
That's right. You had your kids playing Grand Theft Auto when they were four.
Of course.
They got to level six.
That's great. Yeah, that's good parenting right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, Froggy, just a fine example
of
fantastic parenting.
Appreciate it. Someday you guys might be able to get there.
Trick or treating. Fester, you had a kid ask what at your door?
It's two stories.
Two trick or treating stories.
Both of them involve questions.
Okay.
One was for the half a neighborhood that I was following my kid around the block. We were in a pack of like 15 kids. And there was another pack of kids that kind of a house in front of us, but we could hear the chatter back and forth.
Right.
There was one kid that asked every house, every table in front of the end of the driveway, every door they knocked on, do you have anything without nuts? Do you have anything that's nut-free?
Oh, the kid had a nut allergy.
But every house, do you have anything that's nut-free? Do you have anything that's nut-free?
I would be really obnoxious if I went up to the kid and did the imitation of the animal on the wall in the Planters commercial, and I said,
do you like nuts? Do you like nuts?
I love that thing.
Do you like nuts?
Do you like nuts? Mm. No, seriously.
Big fan.
Some kids...
Serious.
Yeah, they can't even touch like the candy wrapper.
All kidding aside, and it's not funny, some kids have really nasty, nasty nut allergies. Hey, I've been on airplanes. Have anyone been on a flight where they made the announcement that we have a peanut allergy passenger? Please refrain from... On the airplane, please refrain from eating... anything with nuts.
Oh, where they hand out peanuts, they're going to say that.
They've stopped handing out peanuts.
Yeah,
I get pretzels now, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time that an airline handed out peanuts. In fact, I remember that there was a big story that Southwest was going to stop handing out peanuts, and I was on a Southwest flight. I took a handful of peanuts from the flight attendant. I said, hey, can I get a bunch of peanuts? Knowing that they were going to discontinue. I've got a little baggie at home with a whole bunch of little cellophane wrappers, Southwest Airlines peanuts. I'm going to put them on eBay
relics.
$300. Yeah.
Okay, well, that might be a bit steep, but Southwest had a really good quality honey roasted nut.
Yes,
peanut allergies are more prevalent now for kids. So now, like, what your pediatrician tells you is to introduce peanuts when they're really young. And, like, I ate so much peanut butter when I was pregnant in hopes that my kids would not have peanut allergies.
Well, what we did was, and this is what our OBGYN, when they did an amniocentesis, they'll jam in some Jif.
Yeah. So I gave my kid a Snickers bar out of the womb.
Yeah, exactly. You just do it, when you do it in amnio, you just have them, you know, jam in some, I don't know, Michelle had an amnio for one time.
The ultrasound on my son Hudson, they actually, instead of using the little juice loop.
They used the Butterfinger bar.
Yeah, they did. They just melted it. They put it in the microwave and melted it.
What were you going to say?
No, they used peanut butter. Oh. I mean, Butterfingers was funnier than peanut butter.
No, the wand was a Butterfinger.
Oh, no, no. The device. The schmutz. Not the Butterfinger.
Oh, you're talking about the schmutz.
The gel.
Okay, so you
have... The lube, the gel.
It's the conductor.
My joke was that they used peanut butter for that.
Your joke was
they used peanut Butterfinger for a wand.
Another thing you can do, you can just have the OB hold, you know, when he's delivering your child, put peanut butter all over his hand. So that's the first introduction to the baby's world.
All right, so one kid was asking for peanut-free items. And listen,
but had to ask every house.
I get, but what happens if you have cross-contamination? Because when you buy the bag with 250 pieces, it'll have some a Baby Ruth, it'll have various chocolate items.
Yeah, but they're wrapped up.
I realize that, but
they're in a factory at one point.
Just like you see those little notes on packages, you know, made in a facility that uses nuts, or, you know, made in a facility that has nuts as ingredients. What, you know, verbiage, right?
But even if you eat one and you touch it, then you touch another wrapper and you don't pick it up. And I mean, I'm really concerned about this kid. I didn't ever really thought about it for Halloween. Ask every house.
Sorry, this is a payday only house, kid.
Sorry, kid.
There are some kids, and listen, I feel bad for these kids.
One of Max's friends has a really bad where you can't even be near him if he smells it.
That's the point. Some kids, they'll smell it if they touch it, if they get a taste that they can.
No joke.
They can go into anaphylactic shock. And a lot of these kids, don't they like carry EpiPens?
So, yeah, and they get bullied sometimes too, you know?
Yeah, it's a shame. Well, you know, but a lot of people feel like they're inconvenienced that, let's say, their kid loves peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and there are some schools where they roll out the edict that no kids can even bring like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to school. And some, I can understand where some parents get upset that, wait a sec. But again, with some kids, it could put them into a serious medical meltdown, and some kids could die from peanut butter issues. All right, so kid in the neighborhood's asking for no peanuts, and then what was the somebody knocks on your door?
So I get back to the house, right? I wanted to hand out some candy. The kids are working the back half of the neighborhood with my wife, and a couple kids come up. A kid comes up dressed up in a Harry Potter costume.
Right.
And, I compliment every kid's costume, even if they look like junk.
You would have said Harry Potter. What is this, 2008?
I would have pushed him.
He's sitting there with a scarf and like a Quidditch.
Did he have a scar on his head?
He did. It was with a little magic marker. Right. And he had the round glasses. And he goes, do you have anything that's gluten-free?
God, what?
Stop it.
I'm like, what?
The kid asks for gluten-free Halloween candy.
You should have asked me.
He asked, are these gluten-free? That's what he said. Are these gluten-free? And it's like trick or treat. I'm like, hey guys, you look great. Are you happy Halloween?
He learned that from mommy and daddy, the same parents that are keeping him in a time warp and just letting him watch Harry Potter.
That's it. How old was this pissant?
I mean, eight?
Really?
Seven, eight? Are these gluten free?
In case you don't know, sir, wizards only eat gluten free. Well, it's what we do in the wizarding world.
I didn't know.
But Roxanne is right. Totally got that from parents. His parents are probably gluten-free whack jobs, you know?
Are these gluten? And the crazy part about, I felt bad about the other kid, all we gave out was peanut butter stuff. We bought like the Reese's pack of...
That's mean.
My wife calls me at the store. She goes, do you want the full-size Reese's or the miniature-size Reese's?
Is that?
And I was like, that's the dumbest question ever.
Tell you what, if that kid came to my house and asked for something gluten-free, I'd say, oh, yeah, hang on a minute. I got the gluten-free stuff inside. I'd go find, like, a moldy 6-month-old Wonder Bread bag that got stuck in the bottom of the bread drawer, and I'd say, yeah, here you go. See that mold? That's gluten-free. There you go. Here's your gluten-free kid. Right here.
That's not funny, sir. I'll put a wizard spell on you now.
8-year-old kid.
I'll come back and egg your house. He'll say, yeah, I got gluten-free eggs I'm going to hit your house with later on.
What a bunch of inconvenient kids in your neighborhood, Fester. Gosh.
It's a bunch of pain in the asses, actually.
Yeah, for real.
All the kids in my neighborhood, pain in the asses.
Roxanne, any gluten-free kids on your walk?
No, thankfully no gluten-free kids. I did find out the candy bar that I absolutely love, that I feel like is so underrated, and I ate like 20 of them out of our candy stash yesterday.
Underrated candy bar.
Yeah, I wonder if you guys feel the same. You know what it is?
Well, tell us.
Well, there's so many guesses.
$100,000. Is that not the best
candy
bar?
We're giving out 100 grand later on the show.
Hold on. Hey, Maniac Marty, we're not giving away 100 grand.
No, I swear, we're giving away 100 grand, if you know what I'm saying.
So, Roll Up wins a Toyota.
So, caller 9 gets 100 grand right
and
now.
A Toyota.
And then you hand out 100 grand bar, is that it?
That's right. Don't tell them about the trickery.
All right, yeah, 100 grand.
They're so good. They're crispy, they're caramely, they're crunchy and chocolatey.
That's true.
I agree. And you know what? I can't believe you said that because Michelle bought, you know, the multiple bags of the variety packs. Michelle said to me last night, what are all these 100 grand bars over here? I took like a half a dozen out and I put them in the kitchen aside before she brought the candy bucket outside.
You took $1.2 million worth of 100 grand bars? That's insane. That's a lot of candy.
All right. Hey, folks, when we get back... When we get back in a minute, you want to hear about a guy who did something really creepy to try to go out on a date with a woman? This is creepy. Wait. Oh, you know what I want to know? Is this creepy or is this ingenious? All right. Is this taking initiative or is this creepy? Date. We'll give you the details next here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show at Q105. We're about to play Creepy or Not Creepy. Very interesting story, but first, I think we ought to just take a minute or so and spin the celebrity wheel of COVID. Okay, let's see where it lands.
It's a nice wheel we got.
Oh, it's a great wheel. Let's see where it lands. Oh, and look at that. Look at that. Yep.
Bad name.
Yep. The celebrity wheel of COVID.
I thought that was your intro over that song.
No. Like another song.
No, the MJ Morning Show.
All right, we're back.
Yeah, the MJ Morning Show now with more MJ and less music. Yes. All right. So, John Bon Jovi, obviously. John Bon Jovi has tested positive, literally like minutes before he was supposed to go on stage down in Miami, down in South Beach, I guess, at a concert. He was going to do an acoustic Halloween performance at Lowe's South Beach down in Miami. And literally moments before going on stage, he tested positive for COVID-19. Was someone standing there like right off behind the curtain? Was there a doctor with a swab? What?
Did he not get a shot in the arm?
No, he's fully vaccinated.
Shot in the arm.
I got you. I was a little slow on that. Yeah.
Shot in the arm. And yeah. Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. So he got it. Okay.
He got a breakthrough case.
I heard it's caught in the feather bangs first.
Yes.
So you're more susceptible if you've got feathered bangs?
Yeah, it sort of catches it like a net.
Is that it?
I'm sitting here thinking, gosh, I know somebody who knows him. Who knows him?
Of course you MJ.
Do. Yeah, well... I don't know. I've met him before, obviously, but
his kid,
Chloe, my daughter's friends with Jake.
You need to hook up with that kid.
Yeah, the second to youngest. So not the youngest son of Bon Jovi, but Chloe's friends with Jake Bon Jovi. They talk regularly. You know, Chloe.
You better watch it, Jake.
Chloe made friends with Jake through another friend in New York, and.
You know, just Ted Nugent's son?
Just a nice, unassuming kid. You know, Chloe, they'd all go hang out in New York.
That's cute.
You know, quite a bit.
Very cute.
That's cute.
So, Jake had COVID. So Jake had COVID, I think, either earlier this year or last year, Jake had it. So they had to cancel the concert. And he said, hopefully I'll be okay. And he said, this is the plan. Yep, just gonna living on a prayer.
Okay, why couldn't he finish his concert? I mean, he's socially distanced from everybody on stage.
Maybe he didn't feel good?
No, he said he feels fine.
Oh.
Ah, yeah, so, see that, Froggy? He's a pro.
Bon Jovi, fully vaccinated. Other band members have tested negative.
How about the roadie?
They stayed and played the set for the crowd. But wait a minute.
What?
But,
nobody wants to see you.
John Bon Jovi is the lead singer. Who?
Literally the band's named after him.
Okay. So. This person's just going to stay on stage and bang the tambourine. That's
okay, we're going to play the cowbell for 2 hours. You guys good with that?
Yeah. So here's where I play the electric guitar and just bob my head back and forth really vigorously.
It's totally instrumental Bon Jovi songs. It's like Muzak Bon Jovi. No singing, just instrumental.
That sounds awesome.
They couldn't have Zoom called him in or something?
You know, one of my favorite versions is, you know, when I'm in an elevator and I hear, you know, the string version of Wanted Dead or Alive, you know, that's one of my favorites. All right, let's decide. Now, so listen, I wish a speedy recovery to John Bon Jovi. In fact, Jake, 3 years ago, Chloe said that Jake was going to come on the trip with us to Italy, actually.
Ooh. You're going to bring a Bon Jovi on your trip?
Yeah. Well, no, Chloe and Jake were talking about him coming on our trip to Italy a couple of years back.
I remember he invited her on a trip not that long ago, like a year ago, and you kiboshed it.
Yeah, and then Jake invited Chloe somewhere, and
I think it was
the Dominican Republic or something.
Yeah,
I think it was somewhere like it. All right, folks.
Dominican Republic.
It is
the hell.
It's not Haiti.
Hey, Chloe, you want to go to the DR with me?
All right, creepy or not creepy? That is the question.
John Bon Jovi's kid hitting on your daughter? That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, pretty creepy.
No, it's
pretty
not creepy. Creepy.
He's doing above and beyond to try to make out with Chloe.
Hey, Chloe, you want to go to Haiti?
It's beautiful this time of year.
I heard it's real hot there.
And then one time, John Bon Jovi was doing a concert in Kabul, Afghanistan, and they invited Chloe along for that as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
She was on the Tunisian tour.
Taliban are big fans.
I don't think we'll be beheaded, but...
Taliban's actually not a big fan.
No, I'm joking.
I saw a wedding story over the weekend involving the Taliban and playing music, and it did not end well for the party goers.
I don't think the Taliban likes music.
It did not end well.
I don't think whatever sport they play in Afghanistan, I don't think they're doing.
They play soccer.
Yeah. Three wedding guests reportedly shot dead in Afghanistan after playing music at the reception.
Oh, that's not good.
Ooh, bring your violin was not a good idea.
It was the chicken dance.
I don't think, like, at sporting events, I don't think they're doing Sweet Caroline at the Taliban games.
No.
Everybody YMCA.
Does the Taliban have an Olympic team?
Of course.
Are they going to be in the Winter Olympics this year?
I don't know about the winter.
Not the winter. No.
Maybe
it's not their thing.
Creepy or not creepy? Let's go. And Rox, you saw the same story.
I did.
Yeah, I had this in the pile for Friday, and we just didn't get around to it. That's why we're doing it now. But it's not like a story that's expired. This is crazy, and I need you to decide, is this creepy or resourceful? I mean, sometimes there's a fine line between creepy and not creepy.
Mm.
A North Carolina guy.
Creepy.
No, anybody from North Carolina.
Anybody from the NC is a creep.
Can I get the story out, please?
North Carolina is the creepiest of the Carolinas.
It's North Creepolina.
Yeah.
A woman on social media shot a video, and her position is that she is, like, creeped out. This guy is a predator. Got her phone number from her dog's collar.
Well, what's the matter with that?
Michelle Kimball out walking her German Shepherd, Nilla.
That's brilliant, actually.
What, Nilla?
Getting a number from that.
Oh.
Yeah, not brilliant naming your dog after, like, the lamest of the cookies.
No. Oh, dude, I love Nilla wafers.
I know. What do you... Nilla wafer is a delight.
Those things are addictive. I'll tell you what.
I like to let them melt.
You let them sit on your tongue?
I let them sit on my tongue like the body of Christ.
No.
like you're taking a communion wafer.
Wait a minute. When you eat Nilla wafers, you pretend like you're at church?
Well, no, it's like a wafer.
You're taking communion?
I make my kids come up and say body of Christ, and I say amen, and I put on his tongue.
Put a Nilla wafer?
And I go, now you may enjoy your treat. Body of Christ.
You let them dissolve on your tongue like that little cookie challenge in Squid Game?
Yeah, what? Never seen it.
You didn't see Squid Game?
No, but I had some calamari over the weekend. It was delicious.
Michelle Kimball was out walking her German Shepherd Nilla, which I wonder if it's named after the Nilla wafer. This is near her home in North Carolina. She says that a friendly looking guy or a friendly guy stopped her, and the guy said, "Hey, oh, your dog is so cute. Do you mind if I take a picture?" And she didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, that asking for a picture is kind of creepy in itself.
Well, turns out that he took a picture of not only the dog, but that was his little scheme to get a picture of the dog's collar, which had her name, apparently, and her phone number on the dog's collar. In fact, she even shows in pictures online, she shows the dog tag that has her name and her phone number in case her German Shepherd gets lost. So the guy, the pretense is, oh, your dog is adorable. You mind if I get a picture?
That's brilliant.
Thought it was an innocent little encounter. The guy takes a picture, gets her phone number and name. Hours later, she gets a text message from a stranger, and he wants to chat. I said, I don't know anybody by that name. How did you get my number? And
oh, man.
He said, oh, I got it off your dog's collar. And then it hits her. Oh, my God. It's the guy who stopped me and said, oh, your dog is great looking. Mind if I get a picture? No, it wasn't the dog that was great looking. He thought that she was great looking. All right, let's go to phones
That's
on this.
That's thinking outside the box right there.
Let's go to phones on this. Is this creepy or not creepy? Or I guess it's time to play, ladies and gentlemen. Creep or no creep? What do you think? I think this is a brand new game show here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to play Creep or No Creep. All right, let's hit phones on this. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. So you know the facts now. Is this creepy or not creepy? Let's play Creep or No Creep. Also, has anything like this ever happened to you? Do you have a creep or no creep story as well? I mean, doesn't have to be identical. Or has a guy done sort of a skeevy end run, surreptitious, sinister way to kind of get your contact information? Has this happened before to you? So creepy or not creepy, let's grab your phone calls. And if you have another story, love to hear it. 800-990-1047.
This gives me another idea for guys who want to get girls' phone numbers. You could take a picture of their travel bag at the airport that has their phone number on it.
Yes, just go through luggage as it gets off the carousel, hoping that black bag is hers, and just take a picture. Oh,
wait, so you're giving
you're
giving out creeper advice that if you see a hot babe, you see an attractive babe at the airport, just kind of walk by and take a picture of their luggage tag, which has their name and address.
Basically what this guy did.
Oh, dude, this might work for, I mean, if I was to be a foot fetish guy, you could use the same trick to take pictures of women's feet.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
Hey, let me take a picture of your dog. Can you stand a little closer, just a little closer? Take it home.
So she says, Michelle Kimball says, I don't know anyone with that name. How did you get my phone number? And the guy said, oh.
This is the beagle down the street.
I got it off your dog's collar.
Oh. Come up with another lie, dude.
Is I mean, listen, you want to have your number on your dog's collar in case your dog gets lost, right?
I mean, I guess so. Yeah, you'd want him to call you if you said.
This is how you could pick up somebody at the dog park.
Well, hey, there are stories about guys that go to dog parks, especially in Los Angeles, because I lived out there for a couple of years, right. And there were some famous dog parks. There was like one famous one, like in the Hollywood Hills, and a lot of attractive women would take their dogs there, and there were stories about guys just, you know, even borrowing friends' dogs to go to the dog park to then meet,
of course,
to meet women at the dog park. All right, let's go to the phones. Is it creepy or not creepy? This guy gets the woman's phone number off of her dog's collar and then calls her up or texts her trying to, you know, chat her up. All right, let's go to phones. Very simple question. Creep or no creep? And then, do you have a story as well? Listen, that's not a requisite here, but if you have another story about creepy or not creepy with a similar twist, love to hear your number or your story. The number is 800-990-1047. Let's go to phones. Let's start with Cheryl, Lake Wales. Cheryl, MJ Morning Show, you're on. Hi.
It's creepy.
Yeah, all right, so I'm putting you down in the creep column, right?
Yes.
Have you ever had a creeper situation similar to that?
Yes. Years ago, when I was living in Fort Myers, I had went into the DMV to get my license renewed, and a couple of days later, the guy that did my license showed up at my house.
Whoa. Oh, what?
Yes.
Talk about a violation. Did you complain?
No, because I was in my 20s and didn't think anything of it. I just told him, don't do that and don't come back to my house, and he never did. But, yeah, that was real creepy.
What did he say? So, wait a minute. He obviously had all of your information from DMV. He shows up. Under what pretense did he show up at your house? What did he say?
He thought I was nice looking, and he wanted to talk to me then, but he was working, so he figured he would just show up at my house.
Oh, yeah, because that's even more convenient. It's just show up at the person's house.
You know, Cheryl, a lot of ladies are looking for guys with good, stable jobs. You know he has a good job at the DMV.
Hey, listen, sweetheart, I'm off the clock.
You know what? Hey, you hook up with me, you won't have to wait in line.
I'm going
to
take care of your tag registrations for life.
Hey, Cheryl, yeah, that's a no for me.
Cheryl, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Wow.
Let's grab Sylvia, Newport Richie. Hello, Sylvia. You're on the MJ Morning Show.
Hey there.
Hey, Sylvie.
How are you?
We are great. Creepy or not creepy?
Creepy, for sure.
Has anything like that ever happened to you?
No, not really. There's other stories, but they're too vulgar.
Oh,
whoa, Sylvia.
We're not going to talk about that this early in the morning.
That's probably a good idea. I'm going to go with your recommendation. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Does anyone have any clean creeper stories? Man, how do you top that? The guy from the DMV shows up at our house?
I told you about the guy the bowling alley tried to pick me up. That was creepy.
What?
I told you when I was 14, there was a guy who tried to pick me up. He said, you need me to put those shoes on for you? The bowling shoes?
Oh.
And I let him, because he tied really good.
I'm
just kidding. I didn't let him. But somebody did try to, like, let him put shoes on me.
800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Creepy or not creepy? And have you ever had a creeper story similar to, or well, close to, or even completely different from the guy getting the woman's phone number off the dog collar? Nikki Fishhawk. Nikki, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi, good morning. It's definitely creepy. Totally creepy.
Everyone's creeped out by this. Now,
I can give an example where it's not creepy.
Okay. What?
That would be if you're a single woman.
Yeah.
And you're attracted to the guy who got your number off your dog collar, and he calls you, and then you fall in love, right, and you stay together.
Right, this isn't a Lifetime movie, okay?
Not creepy, and then you'd laugh about it.
All right, so you're saying that the woman was actually attracted to the guy,
right,
and was maybe afraid to make the first move?
Exactly.
And then the guy actually doing a creepy move is not a creep because she was thinking about him anyway.
Right.
Wow.
You might laugh about the surreptitious way he got the number
it's
later
like
on
a
down.
Rom-com.
Right. Exactly.
That's kind of a cool little
twist.
It would
still creep me out.
Yeah. There you go.
Nikki, any creeper stories in your life over the years?
Actually, not me, but my mom, when I was younger, she started getting really vulgar, explicit messages left on our answering machine and couldn't figure out, you know, who it was, would talk about my mom and what she did that day. And come to find out months and months later, it was the guy that lived across the street from us with a wife and a couple kids. And it ended up being really creepy. My mom had to call the police, and that all got involved, and then he moved.
Oh, and what about the wife across the street? Did she hang with the creep?
I don't think so. I think she ended up divorcing him.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Nikki, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call. Spread the word. The MJ Morning Show is back on 104.7 FM, all right?
I've listened to you guys for about 20 years now.
Thank you, Nikki. Appreciate it. Let's grab Lori in St. Pete. Lori, creep or no creep?
Super creepy.
Super creepy?
Is that
yeah.
All right, and anything ever happened to you?
Absolutely. I'm a Lyft driver, and I had a guy claim to have left his phone in my car so that Lyft would give him my contact information, and he starts texting me, asking me out, and proceeding to tell me of all the things you would like to do with, to, and for me.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Oh, Uber, too. You get people's phone numbers on Uber.
My phone number.
Oh, you really?
That stinks.
It was bad.
So, Lori, thanks for the call.
Hey, Lori, if you went on a date with him, would you had to have drive? Would you be the driver?
would you pick him up? would he look at his phone? Oh, she'll be here in 5 minutes. Up 4 minutes. Up, she's here in 3 minutes. Cars out front.
I've never dated a Lyft or an Uber driver.
And then it says your date will wait for 5 minutes, and if you're not out, they'll leave.
That's the way to do it.
Definitely got a one star.
One star. Thank you, Lori. Appreciate it. Let's grab Shirley in Plant City. Shirley, MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi. Definitely creepy.
Yeah, everyone's going with creep factor.
And there's zero in the uncreepy category. I'm keeping track right now.
Shirley, thanks for the call. Have a great one. Let's grab Tron in Gulfport. Tron, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, so it's definitely creepy. I would say it's a creepy story. I actually have a creeper story myself.
What happened?
So I was at Career Source Pinellas looking for a job, and I had to fax over some information. I took a copy of my driver's license and my social security number. And on my way out, I asked the rep there, could I shred my information? And he said, don't worry about it. I'll do it for you. So I left, and later that night, I started getting calls from an anonymous guy saying that he liked me and, you know, can we meet up? And next thing you know, this dude showed up at my house, and I noticed who it was, and I actually ended up punching the guy that night.
Oh, my God.
I had a few friends over, and I said, hey, this guy's coming over. And my cousin was like, I really think it's that guy at Career Source. He's like, I really think it's him. And I'm like, no, it's got to be somebody I know. He showed up, and sure enough, it was the guy at Career Store.
That's crazy. Trump, thanks for the call. All right, let me grab Mary Catherine. What if it's Gallagher?
Oh, from SNL.
Yeah, Mary Catherine Gallagher. You're on the MJ Morning Show, Dade City. Hi, go ahead.
Hey, creepy, definitely creepy. And my creep story is I bought a bed years ago from Mattress Firm, and I put in all my information, you know, when you buy the bed.
Yep.
And the sales guy called me the next day telling me, I'm not supposed to do this, but I just wanted to call you and ask if you were single and if I could get you out on a date.
Yeah, he wanted to help you break in the mattress.
You just got a mattress there, Mary Catherine.
I'm going to break in that Sealy Posturepedic.
What'd you do, Mary Catherine?
I said, well, you probably shouldn't have called me. And I just made up that I said I was taken, even though I wasn't. Ugh. And he was nice and polite, but I was just weirded out.
That is weird.
That might be romantic.
Mattress store guy trying to pick you up. Thanks. All right. Thank you, Mary Catherine. Thanks. All right, one more. Darlene in Lakeland. Darlene, last call. Creepy or not creepy?
Very creepy. And when I was, I saw his dating profile up. I put up my profession, but none of my other information. And I went into see a client, and I couldn't imagine where I knew this client from. I thought it was the strangest thing because he was from another state. And I was finishing up his appointment, and I said, God, I know this guy from somewhere. I went outside and I looked up my dating profile. It was a guy who actually I had not only turned down, but I had blocked him from my dating profile. He crossed state lines to come and see me at the hospital I worked at.
Oh, my God.
All right, hold on. Don't make it sound so dramatic. Was it Georgia or was it like Minnesota, a state line?
It's like
I was still up in the Northeast. I was up in New York.
All right. Well, Darlene, thanks for the call. All right. So for those that kind of tuned in halfway, the story was a guy runs into a woman with her dog, says, oh, your dog's so nice. Can I take a picture? The guy snapped the picture of the dog, but made sure that he could get her name and phone number off the dog's collar and then called later on. All right. Speaking of creepy, when we get back in just a moment, you ever do an Airbnb or a Vrbo, you know, vacation rental by owner? You've done that, Fester, right?
I have.
I've done a Vrbo.
Froggy, you have?
Yes, sir.
I tried one time and we had to cancel it.
All right. Next, my childhood buddy Doug had a vacation rental by owner thing happen, which, speaking of creepy, could this happen to you the next time you do a vacation rental? Hold on. You got to hear this story. This is weird. And it's next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 7:59. And we just had the creepy segment, and I'm thinking we had a creepy theme. You know, Halloween was yesterday, but the creepy theme continues here on the MJ Morning Show. And I actually have a childhood friend of mine on the phone. Now, Fester, what story have I told on this program? What story has come up numerous times about my friend's high school in a van? Do you remember the story, Froggy? Froggy Fester?
Does that have to do with lunches or something?
No, Roxanne, you're not going to know the story.
What? Okay.
Give me a hint.
Did you steal a van as a kid or something?
No, I didn't steal a van. I know what it is.
What was it? You crashed a van.
Yes.
Through cones. Through a construction site, right?
You're right. Yeah. So,
how can you forget, Fester?
My buddy Doug Baxter joins us. Doug still lives in Virginia. Doug, great to have you on the MJ Morning Show.
Hey, MJ. Great to hear from you.
By the way, you can call me Todd since...
thank you. I didn't want to screw up. Thank you, Todd.
No, but you know, Todd... MJ, I used MJ in Virginia Beach. That was, you know, that was my on-air name starting in 1986 in Virginia. But, Doug, I've told the story numerous times about when we were driving my dad's company van and Mike said, hey, I dare you to drive through those construction cones and barricades.
Yes. So the key there is don't do that with the side door of the van open.
it was like a 1978 Dodge Maxi van with that sliding door. And for whatever reason, this was safe. I was driving and my friends were in the back in lawn chairs, just sitting in the, this was a cargo van, and they're just sitting in the back. We're going down Shore Drive in Virginia Beach. We had just come over the Lesner Bridge over Lynn Haven Inlet, going eastbound, and at the bottom of the bridge, like one of the lanes was closed, and Mike says, Hey, Todd, I dare you to drive the van through all those construction.
What's the matter with y'all?
So he laid down the gauntlet, and sure enough, Todd took out six or eight of those barriers, and one of them splintered, came flying back into the van, hits me in the forehead. I've got stitches to prove it. So I have to go home and explain this to my mom, who told me under no circumstances do anything stupid with your friends. So, in any event, as far as she knows, I fell down and hit my head on a rock.
Well, we told them we were playing football. That's right.
I fell down and hit my head on a rock playing football.
That was the story until, guess what? At my wedding in June of 1994 at the Radisson, Virginia Beach, at my wedding, and Doug, you were there, your mother was there, and that's when we broke the whole story. I told the story at the wedding of what really happened to Doug's head.
That's funny.
Yeah, we came clean. She was okay with it. A little time had passed.
It was Spivey Rentals. Remember them?
We kept the reflector light that came flying into the back of the van. I don't know where that thing is today.
These were those wooden horses and barricades. And I wrecked the whole front of the van.
What are you, nuts?
The grill was gone. The headlight was smashed out. And my dad...
How did you explain that to your dad? What did you tell him what happened?
Remember this? They bought it. That the wind pushed a dumpster into the road.
What? Parents are so dumb.
They believe that the wind blew a dumpster into the road.
Oh, how light was the dumpster?
All right, so listen, just so you know, Spivey Rentals is your number one authority for porta-johns in the entire Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Newport News area.
The whole Hampton Roads, they're still around. Spivey Rentals in Hampton Roads, Virginia.
Call up and apologize.
All right, So, Doug, you've got a story. Now, we have a chat group going on. It's, you know, our friends from Virginia Beach. You know, we were in middle school, high school together, and, you know, we've kept in touch over the years. But recently, we put together a text group, and we're all, it's me, it's Mike, it's Doug, it's Kyle. Kyle's in Arizona. Kyle's in Maine. Mike's in Arizona. Doug's in the Richmond area.
The crew, the boys.
Yeah. Which one's in prison?
We're spread out. America's better off having us spread out.
So. No, that was Randy Sabatino. He went to prison.
That's right. I knew one of them went to prison.
Hey, Doug, did you know about Randy Sabatino?
No, what happened to Randy?
First of all, do you remember he ran his Camaro through 100 feet of fence across from the video game place on Independence Boulevard?
Yes, his dad was my football coach growing up, and after games, he would give us all a $20 bill and let us go into the arcade to blow off steam. So it was a trip.
Yeah, what's up with your classmates just bashing through stuff in cars?
Randy Sabatino, he was doing a burnout in front of the video. He had like a hot rod Camaro at 16, loses control, jumps the curb, and took out 100 feet of fence at the back end of an elementary school.
100 feet?
Yeah, 100. He made it was crazy. But no, Randy Sabatino, he tried to like rob a check cashing place with a bomb device, and he went to like prison for like 8 years.
That's not a good idea.
No, it was not.
Oh, 17. Oh.
All right, so Doug, I'm having you on this morning because in our chat group, you said, guys, you're not going to believe this. You guys were down here in Florida on vacation, and you did like an Airbnb, but you did Vrbo, which is VRBO, vacation rental by owner, and you told the story in our little friend chat group with our texting, and I'm like, oh my God, I've never heard of this. So tell us exactly what happened. When did it happen? And you guys were on Amelia Island?
Yeah, so we're across the state there in Amelia Island just last month. Nice place, Omni Resort, you know, gated community. And on the VRBO site, they give all the information about the house and contract terms, and they were very specific. Be quiet. Don't make a lot of noise. Be respectful of your neighbors. After 10 p.m., you know, it's lights out, quiet time kind of thing. And so, you know, we're respectful of that. So a couple days in, the guy's ice machine breaks. And so I send him a text. Hey, dude, ice machine's broke, and I found your toolbox. I can dismantle the refrigerator, try to take care of it for you. What do you want to do? So he calls us when we're out having a cocktail in the afternoon, and just about the time the phone rings and I answer it, some guy is going to town with a sledgehammer in the background. And so the guy's like, oh, my God, that's not my house, is it? I said, no. Somebody's tearing something up here at this area where we are. And he goes, oh, good, because I heard y'all were having fun last night in the house.
So he says, I heard you guys were having fun in the house last
night. Right, right. And I said, you what? And he goes, yeah, the noise meter went off after 11 o'clock last night. I was like, the what? It did what? And he says, yeah, there's a noise meter in there, and it's okay. You guys were inside the house. As long as it wasn't outside, it's not a problem. And so I'm like, wait a second, what's up with that? So we beeline it back to this house, and we walk in, and we're like curious like a pack of raccoons at this time trying to find this thing.
Yeah, where is it?
Up on the ceiling, looks like a smoke detector, is this little round device. And so we Google it, sound meter. Yep, looks just like this thing. And so now we're all curious. What in the world is this like monitoring everything we're saying? Is the guy hearing all we're doing? Because the night before, I mean, I don't know where you grew up, but where I grew up, when my kids throw down the gauntlet and say we want to play some quarters at midnight, they're poking the bear, I'm going to play quarters. And so, yeah, we got a little loud, perhaps. And so now the rest of the vacation is around how do we fool this device? Because I'm sure if I just take it down, it's going to alarm, and the guy's going to come over, and that's not going to end well either.
No.
You got to take like an Alexa and just blast Iron Maiden into it directly where you can't hear it, but it destroy the device, right?
So you're not going to believe this, Doug. When I saw you talk about this, that your Vrbo vacation rental unit had a noise meter, a sound meter inside, I Googled this as well, and I found a story on the Vrbo website, And the headline is Verbo and Noise Aware partner on noise monitoring solutions. October 1st, 2020, Dateline Austin, Texas. Verbo has partnered with Noise Aware, the leader in modern noise monitoring, to provide vacation homeowners and property managers with access to exclusive pricing and services for Noise Aware noise monitoring solutions. They're offering Verbo homeowners discounts of up to 50% and property managers with multiple properties 60 days free with overnight monitoring and guest messaging services at no extra cost. Noise Aware provides a privacy-safe way to wirelessly monitor decibel levels inside the vacation rentals and notify homeowners and property managers when noise levels reach or exceed customizable thresholds.
Yeah, and that must have happened. So, of course, my wife is like, well, you could respect the guy's wishes. What? And just be quiet. I'm like, yeah, I guess that's an option. But the rest of the guys are like, nope, we're gonna fool this thing. So we're wrapping towels around it and spraying cream and putting bags over it. So I don't know. I don't know if any of that stuff worked. But
you should have gone to like Home Depot and hi, Phil Swift for Flex Seal. You should have Flex Sealed the whole thing into the ceiling.
Oh, trust me. We were trying to figure out how to evade this thing.
Oh, you should have got some
troglodytes. I didn't know what in the world we were up against.
But you know, the deal is apparently they're not listening to your conversations. They're just getting like peak decibel levels, like with a noise meter. They're
like
just
a noise meter at a stadium.
Yeah. So they're just getting the decibels. They're not listening to like exactly what's being said. It's just they're getting. Let's say they set the, like, normal conversation, isn't like the decibel level of normal conversation, isn't it like 80 dB? And that like a jet engine's like 140 dB or something? I wonder what his decibel meter was set
60.
At.
60. Yeah, 60 is normal conversation.
Oh, 60 is normal?
Should have asked him. Well, get a load of this, yeah. Todd. At another place where we were staying, I get a text message from the owner, and he says, hey, do you have windows or doors open because the humidity in the house is high? I'm like, what? And he says, yeah, we've got one of these smart thermostats, and it just triggered that the humidity's high. I'm like, dude, that's because your thermostat's right next to the bathroom, and my wife just got out of a steamy shower. So, of course, the humidity. But I thought that was kind of creepy, too. My God,
what a micromanager.
Listening and watching everything you're doing.
Wow. So you got to be careful with these vacation rentals or these Airbnbs. Well, listen, on the really creepy side, there have been cameras that have been, like, put in bedrooms and, you know, all kinds of creepy stuff. But, you know, think about this, though, with the smart thermostats. You could rent a place from an owner, and let's say you like the place chilly like an icebox, and you got the air conditioning down to like 68 degrees, they could probably say, oh, man, they're killing my power bill here. I'm gonna crank it up. So you probably could put the thermostat down, and then the homeowner that you're renting from, they'll jack it back up remotely.
Yeah, well, for the rest of that vacation, we figured there was a guy with binoculars just looking at us through the windows. I mean, geez, they can hear you. They can see you. Just leave me alone. I'm on vacation.
Oh, my God. You know, Doug, I might have to have a regular segment with Doug, my childhood friend, because we got tons of stories. And I know, did you have another story? You had one of your sons had an issue with, like an intruder in his house?
Oh, yeah, he did. So my son owns a house down in downtown Richmond. And he's not so good about locking the doors when he leaves. And so he was over at a friend's house the night before. And when he comes home, he goes to open the front door, and it's locked. He says, well, that's odd. I don't remember locking the front door. And so he goes around to the back, and the back door's locked, too. And he's like, I don't remember locking the back door. But he knows where he's got his hidey key outside. So he goes in the house. And when he turns the corner to go upstairs to go to his bedroom, there's also a door up there. And he notices that door is locked. Jeez. And closed and locked.
Right.
And now his antenna goes up. He's like, well, this is not right. Somebody's here. Somebody's in my house. So he calls one of his buddies on his cell phone, I guess FaceTimes him. He's like, all right, dude. I'm going to go open this door, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's on the other side.
Why wouldn't he call the cops?
Well, That's secondary. First of all, he's got to call his buddy because he's going in there.
Right.
So he goes charging into the room, and there's a woman in his bed. Here's this strange woman, and he also keeps a gun by his bed in his nightstand.
Oh, man.
And so he works his way over there and gets his gun, gets his 9mm.
Right.
And he's like, WTF, what are you doing in my bed? And the lady gets up groggy, scratching her eyes, and she goes, it's okay, boo, it's okay, boo. Starts calling him Fred. His name's Michael. And she goes, but I know you, Fred. I know you, Fred. And he's like, I don't know who you are. What are you doing in my house? Get the F out of my house. Right. And the person's like, well, just relax. Everything's okay. He goes, no, everything's not okay. Get out of my house.
All right, did the police make an appearance here, Doug?
So he finally gets his person out of the house, and he's running around out in the front yard like a maniac, waving a gun around. And so his neighbor, who has three sons that are in the police force,
right.
She goes, Michael, you might want to stop waving that gun around. I've already called. The cops are on their way. And so this homeless person, now she's just wandering up and down the streets like it's no big deal, nonchalant. So, yeah, the cops show up, and he says, this lady broke into my house. And they say, well, actually, since your house was unlocked, she really didn't break in. Maybe she was trespassing. Did she steal anything? He goes, no, I can see where she was rifling around through my stuff and ate something out of the refrigerator, but no, nothing stolen. So they said, all right, well, she didn't, no burglary. And you
what?
Know.
Hold on, just going into the house, that's a burglary. You're just going into the conveyance or whatever the legal term is? Or
yeah, Doug, listen, this is the kid's fault for not locking his door. I mean, your son kind of sounds like an idiot.
Well, I can tell you, if this person had done that at my brother's house, she'd be underground right now.
Right, no kidding.
Doug.
Maybe she was on Ambien or something.
Hey, keep feeding us with the stories, man. Doug from my childhood. Hi, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Great talking to you guys. Have a great day.
Good stuff.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. But hey, the Vrbo thing, the vacation rental by owner, does your place have sound monitoring equipment? If you rent from Airbnb or Vrbo, are they monitoring your sound?
Well, they monitor you. A lot of them are allowed to have cameras outside the house. So you have to know when you're entering that they're probably recording you.
All right, moving on to the Baldwin situation, the Alec Baldwin situation, and a lot of stuff actually developed over the weekend here. There's nothing really new in the investigation, but I would imagine, you know, sometime maybe this week or sometime shortly, we're going to find out whether there are going to be charges, because that investigation, that sheriff's office out there and that DA out in New Mexico, they know that they are under worldwide microscopic, eyes right now. The whole world is watching what's going on here. So, a couple of things. Did you see the story that the Baldwins dine in a closed off Vermont bar? So they're dining, what they pay the bar owner, hey, close the doors, we'll just pay you to rent the place out. And, you know, we heard that, and Ilaria said that she's worried about Alec's potential PTSD, having post-traumatic stress disorder after the shooting on the set and what happened to the director of photography, so that they need time to mourn. So Ilaria Baldwin, by the way, is she still talking in that fake Spanish accent?
Yes. He has PTSD.
Just goes right into perfect English.
But wait a sec. My question is, they're mourning the death of the cinematographer, and how do you mourn? You mourn by paying a bar to close down so you can take over and just have the whole family and eating at a bar?
And everybody has their own way to grieve.
What is she, Italian?
Maybe. I don't know. What does she pretend to be?
Nobody really knows.
Seriously.
I think she asked for a nice Rioja and some tapas while she was there.
Did you see her face when he was on the street giving that little presentation?
I did. What'd you notice?
She has such a, excuse my language, but resting bitch face, as they say, with just that scowl.
Well,
they
have to be serious right now. Yeah, like, yeah, she can't be all light.
She's like, I don't know. She looks real mean.
She's got the RBF going on.
She really does. Yeah. She's just sitting there like, like she wants to attack the people.
Yes. Hilaria does not think this situation is hilarious.
Has she dropped this phony Spanish accent thing?
I don't know. I didn't see the video. I just heard that Alec had to like shush her and have her not,
he did. It was
not
awesome.
Be interrupting Alec, the press conference because she always wants attention.
Now, we've got the audio from the presser. If you have not heard.
You're not shushing me.
Cállate.
What, you shoot me too? Alec, you shoot me too?
Cierra la boca.
Don't tell me. Tranquilo.
You know, if Hilaria Baldwin came to town, would her favorite radio station be Maxima down the hall?
Yeah, the 90 and Christie show would be pumping.
It would be.
See.
You know.
So are you saying your country? See.
So here are the details. Hilaria Baldwin stepped out Saturday to grab a coffee with this whole, situation out
Please
west.
Call it a cafe.
Okay, I'm sorry. She's having a cafe con leche.
Cafe Monteo, please.
She's having a cafe con leche.
With two sugars.
But
guys' Spanish is remarkable.
Thank you.
It's Spanglish, but thank you.
They went to a bar for a restaurant. So they're in this town in Vermont. There are about 4,000 people, I guess, in this town. And Alec Baldwin and the family, they enjoyed dinner inside of a bar that apparently had closed for them for dinner.
That's what most do after they murder somebody, right?
So they don't want anyone else in the bar, or maybe media.
Okay,
media by getting a table right near them and listening in or taking pictures, right? But that's how you mourn. You go to Vermont and you hang out and you drink Starbucks coffee and you go into a bar and have them close off the bar so just you and your family can eat there. That sounds like a real way to mourn. All right. If you have not heard the audio, when we get back in minutes, we've got the Alec Baldwin. He's on the side of the road in Vermont. I mean, literally.
Yeah, he's in the middle of the street almost.
He's literally, it's a two-lane road, like a backcountry road in Vermont. And he's like standing right on the shoulder and he's holding a press conference and Alec Baldwin is talking.
Alec, get away from the traffic.
No, she's weaving in and out of Alec with her iPhone recording the reporters.
Oh, and her face.
Froggy is so right. Whoa. Froggy is so right.
Her face is nuts. Now, we've got. Now, hold on. Stop. We'll listen to her voice. We'll listen in a minute. We'll be back in a second. And we'll be able to listen to see if she still has the fake Spanish accent going on. And what did Alec Baldwin say? Ladies and gentlemen, next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
All right, we got a busy segment here. So we've got the Alec Baldwin audio, then the Stones at Ray J, the Bucks losing on the road in New Orleans yesterday. Some thoughts on that. Also, a little insight on the Stones, and got a couple of things coming. I had a bunch of friends that went to the concert. So hold on. Loaded segment here. First, Alec Baldwin. We promised you a moment ago the audio from a Vermont roadside. Listen, I've made very clear, I like Alec Baldwin's acting. I think the guy personally can be an absolute Delta Bravo. The guy can be just kind of a menace, and he's got an attitude, and he's snapped at people. We've had numerous stories about his run-ins over the years. You know, the guy clearly has some anger management issues and some personality disorders, but I do like the guy as an actor. Now, do I take any glee in the fact that maybe I don't agree with some of his activism? Do I take any glee that he shot someone? Of course not. Not at all. There's no Schadenfreude here, as it's put in German. Not at all. It's a tragic, awful situation, and I don't want him to have to go through this personally, but obviously the person and the situation you should feel most bad about and the worst about is the fact that you've got a 9-year-old kid that doesn't have a mother anymore, and you got a husband that doesn't have a wife.
Sure.
That's the most important thing here. But obviously, a lot of the spotlight is being put on Alec Baldwin, and he spoke. He's on a roadside. Like, this is Manchester, Vermont area. This is not Manchester, New Hampshire, but Manchester, Vermont.
What'd they do? Run him down? How'd they corner him?
Well, here's the deal. Ilaria, and we've got some audio of her, and I don't think she's in her Spanish accent mode right now. She's flipped the switch. Turn that one off for a little bit here. Of course, she had that huge scandal, a year ago, where the lid was blown off of her deal, where she tried to pretend she was born in Spain and she's
Mallorca,
Spanish.
Mallorca.
Yeah, I'm from Mallorca. She's from Boston, Massachusetts. Her, like, mother's a doctor, father's a lawyer. You know, she moved to, like, or the family moved to Mallorca, Spain, apparently, when she was in college, right? Wasn't that?
You're right.
Something like that, but
something to that effect. So listen, she had her own scandal. There's always something with these Baldwins. I mean, she was under the microscope with her whole fake Spanish lineage and accent.
I mean, what is this appropriation you speak of? But, I don't know that word.
But you know, that's maniacal. That's kind of sick and twisted in the head when you're playing off that you were born in Spain. I mean, there's something not right there. So maybe they're a great pair for each other. So she claimed that after she heard the news about the accident on the set of this movie Rust out in Santa Fe, that she piled all 29 of their kids into their big SUV and she just drove. I guess they were at their Greenwich, Connecticut house. They got in the giant SUV, put the brood in the car, and they just drove. And next thing she knows, she was just trying to go somewhere quiet, out of the media spotlight, because she knew that, like, the house would be descended upon by media. So she just drove to Vermont. And that's how they ended up in Vermont. She claims, like, in a stupor, she just put the kids in the car and drove to Vermont. And then Alec, I guess, flew out. So over the weekend, the media kind of corners them. I mean, not hard to find them in a small, little, bitty country town in Vermont. And the media actually starts asking questions, and Alec, were they walking, or did they pull off the side of the road? Was the media following them?
It almost seems like they pulled over and just got out, and was like, okay, let me answer your questions.
In a couple of the clips, some of the more raw footage, I could see they get out of, like, a BMW SAV all parked off to the side of the road.
Was that the white one behind?
That might have been their vehicle, right? Unless the journalist is making a lot more money than I thought they are.
So here's the audio. And this is Alec Baldwin and Ilaria talking to the media. Got, like, three clips.
What's the current state of what's going on with the case?
I'm not allowed to make any comments because it's an ongoing investigation. I've been ordered by the sheriff's department in Santa Fe. I can't answer any questions about the investigation. I can't. Okay. It's an active investigation in terms of a woman dying. She was my friend.
Talking about the cinematographer, Helena, being the friend. Now, I don't think the sheriff's office can order you not to talk. That seems a bit bogus.
They can say, hey, listen, don't talk about this. They can say that.
Seems like he's acting.
That's what they tried to say to me when I got pinched. Hey, I wouldn't be running your mouth about this.
Listen, they can make a suggestion, but they're not going to order you. They can't order you not to say anything. That just doesn't seem accurate. All right, then the little impromptu Q&A roadside in Vermont. And you can hear cars are going. Alec Baldwin, if he loses his balance, he could have got run over by a car.
You can hear Ilaria say, Alec, watch out for the coche.
Watch out for the automobile. The automobile.
Alec, come inside when the street lights come on.
Two steps más. Away from the road.
All right, so here's another clip.
What are the questions that you have other than that?
So he's like, he's even asking.
Next.
You know, what he's like doing a presser roadside. He's on the shoulder of a road.
What are the questions that you have other than that?
You met with forget her name.
All right, so that torques off Ilaria.
See.
So the reporter,
she's so annoying.
It seems like the reporter is a British accent, so it might be like a Daily Mail or a Sun reporter, one of the British publications.
Right. They're aggressive. Yeah.
Well, they have also extensive U.S. operations now. So listen, the reporter forgets the name.
You met with her family.
So we were from the beginning. So the reporter forgets her name, and that's when Hilaria like gets all pissed off.
What are the questions that you have other than that?
You met with forget her name at the moment, but you met with her family.
Her name is Helena. If you're spending this much time waiting for us, you should know her name. Her name is Helena.
Helena Hutchins. I met with her husband Matthew and her son. Yeah, that's right.
And how did that meeting go?
I wouldn't know how to characterize that. They're mortified.
You guys, you know what? No details.
But do me a favor. I'm gonna ask the question.
Boom.
Well, I appreciate it.
So wait a minute. Alec just puts Ilaria down, and she's like, no questions. And Alec, you know what? I'm going to answer the question. You know, do you know what would have been crazy? If Alec lost his balance and got mowed over by a car going by at 50 miles an hour. Would that be the craziest ending to the story?
I love the British guy. Excuse me. Helen Harvey Harrison. What's the name?
I don't fancy myself as anything to do with journalism, being in this radio career here, but the one thing you'd want to know is her name.
Heather. Disagree.
He just came from across the pond. He's still on British time. He's a little sleepy, a little jet lagged.
All right, the joke would be that good accent.
I'm an apologetic Brit. Can't forgive me for forgetting her name. Had a little brain.
How's the queen?
I was watching Peppa Pig, and I forgot her name.
How's the queen feeling since she's had that health scare?
A little doozy and woozy still. Keeping an eye on her.
Bring me some spotted dick.
Was she in the hospital? Roxanne.
She's in the hospital.
No, don't. You don't say in the. The British say.
Oh, I didn't know.
What do you mean you don't know? They say it all the time.
What do they say?
They say in hospital.
Oh.
Well, they don't say in the hospital. Okay. It's always just in the hospital.
Roxanne, the queen has an urgent request.
Okay, take two. So how's the queen after the health scare?
She's in hospital right now, so we don't know when we'll be hearing from her. She's very upset with those two that moved across the pond here. Don't want to have them as visitors in hospital.
Back over to Ilaria. And the British reporter.
That he was probably very upset.
The guy is overwhelmed with grief. This is something that...
Oh, so Alec is talking about the husband now. Of course he's overwhelmed with grief.
There are incidental accidents on film sets from time to time, but nothing like this. This is a one in a trillion episode. It's a one in a trillion event.
So Alec is saying this is a one in a trillion. Now... it might be one in a couple of million, but I don't think it's one in a trillion.
I mean, it happened 30 years ago.
Can we get a USF mathematician on, please? Let me do some calculations. What were we going to say, Froggy? I thought you were going to say something.
5,000 movies made a year happened 30 years
ago. I was going to say that doesn't it almost seem like he's rehearsing for a movie? He's very dramatic in his delivery. He almost seems like he's acting.
It does.
That's what I'm saying.
How do you know when an actor is being genuine and real?
She was my friend.
And when they're acting.
She was my friend.
They're actually always acting in real life. And even when they're in movies, they're not acting. They're just playing off their real life energy.
There's no coffee for killers. Closers. Sorry.
Hey, Coop. The video that you pulled this audio from, you've got to put the raw video up at MJMorningShow.com because... the scowl that Ilaria Baldwin has as she's holding up her iPhone 13 and
filming everybody.
She's videoing the photographers.
She's floating around.
She's got a scowl on her face that is like toxic. It's like poison.
I want to see her video.
¿Cómo se dice poison en español? ¿Cómo se dice poison en español?
If you look, MJ... look at the video.
Hold on a sec. I got a question for Ilaria. Is your favorite TV show Sábado Gigante? Woo!
Gordo y Flaca.
Sí. It's my favorite.
All right, so look, MJ. Yeah. Alec is standing there roadside, barely missing the cars that are whizzing by him. And he's holding his phone in a position to record the media as well. So Alec has his phone, his little iPhone, whatever it is with the three lenses, pointed to the media. And then there's Ilaria getting B-roll, just running up and down, getting in their faces.
She's doing the cutaway shots. All right, so what are they going to do with this video? Are they going to hand this over to their security crew? I want their dogs kidnapped. I want you to identify all of these reporters that are badgering us roadside in Vermont, and I want you to make their lives miserable.
Cell phones have become like the new
guns, maybe a bad analogy, but like, oh, I got mine on you. You're pointing them at everyone. And,
you know, in this case, that is a bad analogy.
It's a bad analogy. Yes.
It's
insensitive.
In this particular isolated case.
That was a terrible
gun
analogy.
Gun is a bad analogy.
Yeah. Everyone draws their phones nowadays. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Draw.
Well, listen, there are situations which are horrific where somebody needs to be attended to and the people are just videoing. The people are just holding their phones and trying to capture like a viral video moment instead of like helping somebody. You got like a house on fire. People are videoing it instead of like trying to get people out. Or wasn't there a horrible situation on a train? Was that in Philly or?
Oh my gosh, I read about that. That was disturbing.
There was an attack on the train and the people are videoing.
Sexual assault or rape.
And people are, well, I was trying to avoid those words because that's not really I was trying to dance around that, but.
It's not quite fun button stuff.
Yeah, it's not quite the fun button there, Roxanne.
But you guys wanted details.
But seriously, the people were standing around with their cell phones instead of like calling 911 or stepping in to help a woman out. It was terrible. It's awful. All right, one more soundbite, and then we'll move on from Alec and Ilaria Baldwin, Roadside. ¿Cómo se dice press conference en español?
Conferencia de preso.
All right, here we go.
My kids are in the car crying.
Because you guys are following
me. As a courtesy to you, I came to talk to you.
So he was being followed by the press and pulled over. That's why. So that must have been their white BMW that they were driving.
Ireland's crying rudely like a little pig. Alec, is she?
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
He should have said that to the media folks following him. Listen, it's a huge story. And, you know, these media celebrities, they want the publicity to promote their careers and build up their aura. But when something that's inconvenient that happens, then the media are the pariah. And, you know, you can't have it both ways. All right, let's listen to this whole clip here.
My kids are in the car crying.
Because you guys are following me.
All I want to do, as a courtesy to you, I came to talk to you. I'm not allowed to comment on the investigation. I talk to the cops every day. I talk to them every day to find out.
They know what you are.
I'm cooperating with them, of course. So my point is that I'm just asking. We sat down as a courtesy now to talk to you. Now, please, would you just not follow us for the rest of this?
Just
leave us alone.
Just go home.
We gave
go
you
home.
Everything we could Thank possibly you. Give you.
How big is their car? Don't they have 5 children?
I thought she said she packed up 6. Now, I saw a humongous like Cadillac Escalade that she's pictured in front of, but it appeared that there was also a BMW.
I don't know.
So you don't know if they got out of the BMW?
I saw the video of the BMW parked off to the side of the road that Alex was walking from. I didn't see him exit the vehicle.
All right, maybe there's not enough room for Alex's ego in the SUV, and they have a separate car for that.
I like how the guy's like, they know where you are? No, sir, I'm on the lam. I'm actually on the run.
You found me, sir, from the Montpelier Gazette, but the police have no idea where I am.
And Ilaria, final thing here, Ilaria Baldwin is fearful that Alec is going to develop PTSD.
Yeah.
And listen, that's possible. I'm not going to dispute that. I mean,
of course.
I'm sure Alec Baldwin is rocked.
Dude, this would ruin my life if this happened to me.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, the movie, I can't imagine this movie is ever going to get made. I got to believe this movie. Didn't he say
he
also?
He said it wasn't. Are they going to continue shooting? He said most likely not. I think he said.
Yeah, I thought he said that they're not going to continue shooting, right?
I remember.
Yeah, I thought I saw a clip where he said that the movie is not going to continue shooting.
And Ilaria's like, see, it's true, no shoot.
Yeah. So, obviously, I think we're going to have some details. I'm sure we have something official. I would guess maybe even this week or maybe next week that we should have some kind of statement from the sheriff's office and the DA. And the big question is anyone going to be charged? Is the armorer, is Alec Baldwin, is anyone going to be charged? All right, guys, moving along. I saw something yesterday while I was driving out to Dade City. Yesterday morning, I have a little recreational activity I like on a weekend morning. I'm heading out to Dade City. It is 8:25 in the morning. 8:25. I'm still in Tampa. I'm on I-275 northbound, and I'm just this side, I'm just before Hillsboro. So I've gone through Malfunction Junction. I'm heading up toward I-75 past Bears, and I'm just before Hillsboro on 275.
Okay.
There is a red car in front of me, probably a 10 to 12-year-old Honda Accord. The car is in front of me, middle lane, and it's kind of unsteady on the road. The car is weaving a little bit. It's pretty much staying within the lines, but the car is weaving a bit. I'm like, what the heck is going on up there? So as I get closer, the car is like a disaster. The taillights smashed out, bumpers hanging. And
is this Fester's car?
Why so judgy?
So I'm like, I got to get away from this guy. So I move away, and I move to the right lane to pass because there's really no traffic on the road. So I move to the right lane. He's in the center to pass. And as I go by, I look down because I'm in an SUV. I'm in a X5, and I look down, and he's in a lower Honda, and I can see the guy has a flame in his crotch area.
What? Like
his crotch is on fire?
Well, hold on a minute.
This isn't like a metaphorical.
No. They're literally, as I look down into the car, the guy was, I would say, mid to late 20s. He looked frazzled. He looked unkempt. He just looked, he looked kind of dirtyish. And then I noticed the whole front of his car's missing. I mean, the whole bumper, the grill's gone.
You really had a lot of time to look at this vehicle and write all the details down.
On the road.
As I'm passing the guy, I look over to the right. I look down, and the guy is lighting something in his groin area. And I'm like, what the heck? Literally, the guy's got a flame going in his groin area.
Must be meth.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So he's holding it very low. If he was lighting a cigarette, it would be in his mouth.
Sure.
If he was lighting a joint,
in his mouth,
it would be in his mouth, right?
Don't you have to warm up a crack pipe?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Was he warming up meth or crack in a pipe?
Special, last time you did crack, did you warm it up?
With the lighter. Now, I wasn't able to see exactly what he was doing, but there's an absolute open flame in his crotch. I could see his hand, and he had a flame going. So this dude was weaving a bit on 275, 8:25 yesterday morning, and the guy's weaving and there's a flame. So what explanations could there be other than this guy was smoking crack or meth?
I was going to say crack, too. Don't you have to heat that up?
That's what I'm saying. All right, let's go to phones on this. If you guys don't know, do we have any meth smokers or crack smokers? But how scary is it that this guy's on the road doing like illicit drugs, you know, maybe whacked out of his mind on crack or on meth at 8:25 on a Sunday morning? All right, here's the phone number, 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Does anyone have any insight? I mean, am I missing something? What? So I mentioned it to Michelle, and Michelle was like, well, maybe the ends of his shoelaces were frayed and he was trying to like melt the aglet.
I'm like, yeah.
Michelle was joking around.
Okay.
And then Michelle said, maybe he was trying to like carterize a skin tag in his crotch or something.
You never know. Like,
maybe he's a stunt man and he was getting his pyrotechnics ready.
And then Michelle, you know, sometimes when your eyeliner pencils get hard, you'd use a match to kind of soften your eyeliner. I'm like, no, Michelle, I think that this guy was methed up or cracked up.
I like carterizing a skin tag. I think it might have been that.
you think so? All right. I want to go to phones on this. Any idea what this guy could have been doing with the flame in his crotch other than drugs, coke or crack or meth? 800-990-1047. Oh, hey, guess what, guys? If it was meth, it is Monday.
6 o'clock already, I was just in the middle of a dream. I thought I heard MJ talk about crystal meth and fed up me.
You absolutely did.
It's just another meth lab Monday. The crooks are on the run day. The cops are gonna come day. It's gonna be a fun day. It's just another meth lab Monday.
My God, look at the phones. Every line has lit up.
Oh, this is scary.
You know, when a joint is down to a roach, you have to hold it like that and light it. Maybe it was that.
But not in your crotch.
Or maybe he had a bong in his crotch. Did you see a bong?
No, I couldn't see what it was. Let me grab one call here, and then I'll drag it over. You know what? Hold on a minute. So I don't want to rush people. Every line is jammed here on the crotch arson, or whatever we're going to call this, whatever was going.
I like crotch arson.
The liar, liar, pants on fire.
Crotch arson. All right. If you're on hold, hang on. Coop's got every line going. We're going to go to the phone lines next here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. So don't lose your spot. I can't wait to talk to these callers. 800-990-1047. So we'll go to phones in minutes. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. MJ and Froggy, Fester, Roxanne. I got Coop and your calls here now on the crotch fire story. If you're just tuning in and you didn't hear the story, the 10-second wrap is I'm on 275 at about 8:20 yesterday morning. I'm going northbound. I'm near Hillsboro. Guy's kind of weaving in front of me. As I pass him on the right, I'm like, I got to get away from this guy. I look over and the guy's got an open flame in his crotch. So I'm assuming the guy's like lighting something down low instead of like up on his steering wheel. I'm like, what is this guy lighting? Is he lighting, you know, crack? Has he got a meth pipe? What is this guy lighting? And just the thought of being on the road with somebody, you know, at interstate speeds, if they're like smoking meth or crack, I mean, man, that's insane.
Maybe he's lighting incense.
So, yeah, there we go. Let's go to the phones on this because I asked the question, can somebody help me out? What was this guy doing? What other suggestions or what other possibilities are if this guy's like lighting something in his crotch as I look over? All right, 800-990-1047, 800-990-1047. To the phones, we'll take, how about, is it Lucan?
That's it, man.
Lucan in St. Pete, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, he was doing a dab. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's what you're doing whenever you got that torch between your lap, man.
Now, tell me, hold on. Tell me, what is a dab?
It's like smoking herb. It's herb concentrates. The first time I ever did it, this kid had like a meth pipe looking thing, and I thought, oh, this is why it's Schedule One, man. It's weed, man.
All right, so, but he wouldn't be having the pipe near his mouth to inhale or to get it, he would just do it?
I plead the fifth, but the way it works, man, you take the torch and you heat up like the tip of this little like metal straw and you like dip it down in your little like house oil concentrates, man.
All right, but that's not a safe thing to do. You got a torch in your lap and, you know, when you're driving on the interstate, that seems crazy. Right, we got dab.
Yeah, none of this is safe to do, no. By the way. I mean, let's not say there is less safe or more safe
options. Sure, we don't condone this.
It was a little bit dangerous. I'm sure he's a veteran. He's a qualified captain.
He's a qualified captain. He's a dab captain. Hey, Lucan, thanks for the call.
I thought a dab was a dance move.
Yeah. Well, it's drugs now.
Jacob's in Sarasota. Jacob, I see the guy with the flame in his crotch. What do you think he was doing?
Well, to be honest with you, just starting law enforcement last year, it really could have either been crack or could have been heroin. We see that a lot of times where they heat up the pipe and they smoke it. I caught someone the other day walking down the street smoking that stuff, but I mean, it is Florida, so I wouldn't be surprised, but I honestly think it was either crack or heroin.
Yeah, so Jacob, you're in law enforcement in Sarasota?
Yes, sir. I just started a month ago. I'm still a rookie.
Oh, wow. Listen.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Jacob, how old are you?
I'm 21.
All right, let's be careful out there, and nice career choice, and thanks for serving the public, the people of Florida and Sarasota County. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, guys. You guys have a wonderful day.
You and listen, as they always say, let's be careful out there, okay?
All righty. Stay safe on the highway.
Thank you, Jacob. Look at that. All right, let me grab one more. How about Tammy in Tampa? Tammy, any thoughts on the guy lighting something in his crotch while I passed by him on 275 yesterday?
Well, I couldn't tell you about the hard drugs, but you did mention already the joint, but you didn't think about the other side of it. I'm a pothead, so sometimes you got to hit that, you know, roach at the end. to get it going before you put it to your mouth. Otherwise, you burn things.
She's right. You don't want to burn your lips. You're right, Tammy. He had a roach. He didn't want to burn his lips.
So he might have been holding a roach and a clip, and he was lighting that low.
Correct.
Listen, all these are possibilities.
Wake and bake. Come on. We got the wake and bake for the potheads.
All right,
you said 8 o'clock in the morning.
Now, have you already waked and baked already this morning?
Right before I called, yes.
Of course. For morning coffee.
And if you don't mind me asking, are you an airline pilot?
No, thank God.
Okay. She's a heart surgeon.
Tammy, what do you...
I host karaoke for a living.
You what?
I host karaoke for a living.
That's perfect.
Well, I think that is a very suitable gig. Yeah. I don't think you're going to hurt a lot of people by getting all stoned all day long.
Tammy, send us an email where you're karaokeing and Froggy and I'll come by and do it.
Hey, Tammy, how often do you smoke pot? Is it like every hour?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm responsible. So, no, I just once in a while I like to smoke recreational.
All right, very good. All right. Tabby, thanks for calling in.
Like right before
not
you called us.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Have a great day. It's daytime.
Any day of the night.
It's daytime. But,
I love how the lighting...
She's stoned. She doesn't know whether it's day or night right now.
The lighting the drug pipelines really lit up.
They did. The phones lit up like a crack pipe here at Q105. Yeah, right.
Like a roach. Please, like Tammy said. She might be right.
By the way, I brought up the roach theory. You know, you all laughed it off.
All right, so it's a possibility.
Yeah, well, Tammy seems like a certified captain.
But the point is, the crap that I see on the roads here, and again, you know what I really make a habit of doing these days? When I'm driving, whether it's on a regular surface road like a Dale Mabry or whenever I'm on the highway, whether I'm on I-4 or I'm on 275 or the VEDX or on the Leroy or, you know, wherever, US 19 over in Pinellas County, wherever I am, I pay attention to the other drivers when I pass. And again, the number of people that are on their phones, it is epidemic. The people that are, you pass them and they're not even looking at the road ahead. They are on their phones. They're looking down. And I like sometimes go 1,000, 2,000, 3,000.
Oh, yeah, that's scary.
But then I get away from them because they're going for like a half a mile, a mile. They haven't even looked at the road up ahead.
It's more rare to see somebody not on the phone these days.
So it's you're right.
Yeah, it's almost like weird. Like they're just staring straight ahead and you're like, what are they doing?
Imagine what are they spacing off?
What a loser. We have no friends to talk to?
They're looking down the road. They're actually scanning the road. They're paying attention. They're only focused on driving their car. What the hell's the matter? What's wrong with them?
Loser!
Honk your horn. Hey, you're a loser.
Did we pull audio from this Popeyes video?
I just sent it to Coop. It's going to take him a couple of seconds. Do you have it ready, Coop?
Well, I got Coop. How much time do you need? Because I have something else. We can do the Buck stuff first.
We can do it now.
Are you ready?
Okay,
I'm ready.
Wow. Did you decurse everything?
Yes, it's been decursed.
Because Fester says it was loaded with all kinds of F bombs.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing this whole time.
He was very casual in his presentation of the Popeyes situation.
So Fester said that this is his favorite story of the day. And it's a Popeyes location in Washington, D.C., and they shot a video inside of the Popeyes kitchen swarming with rats.
So I don't know how these stores get their food, but apparently the Popeyes in the D.C. area has a night delivery guy that goes into every store and delivers the chicken. I didn't know this to be true.
I know that happens. I know that a lot of the food service delivery places, they will have keys to the back of restaurants. And I know that's done a lot in Manhattan. A lot of the big food company distribution, they'll have keys and they'll go in and they'll drop food off in businesses. That's kind of part of the route. So
this guy introduces himself as the guy in the D.C. area who drops off the chicken to Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen chicken.
You think that he's going to still be delivering the chicken after releasing this viral video?
I don't know how he's employed 4 seconds later.
All right. I can't imagine this guy's still going to be working for Popeye's delivering food. That's number one. And how easy is it? It's not like he's a one in a million anonymous guy. I mean, you instantly know who this is. If you're working, if you're a regional manager or a manager or an employee of Popeye's, you know who this guy is instantly. So here's the deal. Washington, D.C. Popeye's shut down for health code violations. After the video goes viral, it showed rats in the kitchen a notice posted on the front door of this Popeyes, 409 8th Street Southeast in D.C., shows officials shut down the restaurant Thursday, late last week, a little more than 2 weeks after the video was posted online. In the video, the man says that he delivers raw chicken to area Popeyes restaurants up in D.C. and takes viewers inside this Eastern Market D.C. location where several rats are scurrying in the kitchen.
Okay, by several rats, how many do you think they mean? What's several rats?
Five.
Okay, I think it's like 25. Right, so this is the video. Coop has the audio pulled.
Yeah, I got it right here.
I mean, the guy shows his face. He shows himself walking into the Popeyes after hours. It's legit.
Listen, and in defense of Popeyes, Popeyes is a good product. Listen, I'm an investor, and I have been for years in PDQ, and I obviously think PDQ is the absolute best for tenders and crispy chicken sandwiches and the spicy chicken sandwiches. But listen, I'll admit when a product is good. I think Popeyes does a good job.
They have something special going. Yeah.
I like just a Popeyes chicken breast and a leg and a biscuit. I think Popeyes does a good job. It's a good product. So, and I don't think this is also indicative of most Popeyes. I think that this is but the shame is that this gets so much attention, but this is not going to be all Popeyes everywhere. This is, I think, an isolated situation. So the guy goes into the store in the middle of the night dropping off food, and he's got video of the rats scurrying everywhere.
And he even says before he turns the lights on, you ready for this? Okay, there's one. Scurries away. There's
that's
two.
That's a big boy. That's a big boy.
There's three, four, oh, five, man. Up, three,
oh,
six, that,
oh, my, up, seven, up a pipe up the wall.
Eight,
my God.
Nine,
oh, no, oh, my
ten.
God, they're climbing a ladder. they're climbing up like a wire.
15.
Oh, my God,
oh
that
my
is
gosh.
Unbelievable.
That's a lot of rats.
One of these rats is the size of the stray cat that Roxanne just took in.
Let's get out of here, boys.
All right, here's the audio of the Popeyes delivery guy.
All right, we're going there. Watch this here.
Watch this.
Y'all ready? This is Popeyes. Look at that chicken from Popeyes. Look at this. These mother. Look at them. Oh, my God. Look at him. Look at him.
Oh, my God.
You still love that chicken from Popeyes?
I just pulled the rattiest cities in America list again. We talked about that last
week. Chicago is number one.
Yes, and Washington, D.C. is fourth. So it's all relative. They've got a rat problem.
But these rats are climbing like a wire up from the floor up into the ceiling. It's like they're climbing a ladder. All right, here's one more bite from this guy.
Look at that chicken from Popeyes.
I just pulled that.
Look at that chicken from Popeyes.
Not going to be the new jingle singer.
You know, I mean, this, I guess, is how sometimes someone ends up with a fried rat in their 12-piece.
A rat tail.
You know?
That sounds delicious.
The whole rat. This guy cannot be still employed delivering food to...
I mean, he starts the video off introducing himself as the night delivery... chicken delivery guy.
Oh my God.
He has the keys. He walks into place. Oh my God.
And then probably sees it every night.
Then he's rubbing it in.
That chicken from Popeyes.
This guy can sing. He really has a good voice.
Yeah. We ought to get him on The Voice on NBC.
Seriously, I'd turn my chair for him.
Is there anything else you can sing besides Love That Chicken from Popeyes, sir?
Oh, man. One trick wonder.
I just heard Katy Perry really wants him. Is Katy
Ariana
Perry,
Grande. It's Ariana Grande.
Who's in now?
Yeah, and Kelly Clarkson. And
when did Katy Perry leave?
She's on American Idol.
Oh, yeah. She's American Idol. Oh, geez, yeah. I'm sorry.
And John Legend. And
who's the country dude?
Conway Twitty.
No, the guy.
Merle Haggard.
He's my favorite one, and I can't think of his name right now.
Willie Nelson.
Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton.
Who?
Never heard of that guy.
Yeah. So, this guy ought to be on The Voice. Or he could train those rats and he can go on America's Got Talent.
All right, Simon. So I met all these rats working in the back room of a Popeyes and I taught them how to dance.
Anyway, the video is crazy. Coop, can you get that video up on our website?
Yeah, it's up right now.
And again, listen, I would have no problem going to a local Popeyes. I don't think it's indicative, but it's certainly not a good PR thing. But that's a rough video, man.
I mean, it's not like it's one rat or two. Or five, or 12. It's a lot of rats.
It's like the movie Ratatouille, but just in Popeyes.
And they're just not quite as cute in the Popeyes video than Ratatouille.
Yeah, can they cook? No.
We'll have the video. Is it up now? Or is it going up?
It's going up right now.
We'll have the video of the rats in the kitchen on MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. It'll be up momentarily. All right, Buccaneers, just absolute horror show in New Orleans yesterday.
This is the NFL on the MJ Morning Show.
Oh, my God. What a total embarrassment. What did Bruce Arians say? What was his actual quote? Hey, Coop, were you able to find his quote? Because you thought that the Bucs deliberately did not put this up on the presser, right?
Yeah, I have a little conspiracy theory.
All right, so Coop has a Buccaneers conspiracy theory, and it was what?
So Bruce Arians at the press conference yesterday, he said that the game was embarrassing. But if you go to like the official Buccaneers website, or if you go to their YouTube page, they cut out that part and start the sentence right after he mentions that.
Oh, man. Were you able to find it, like, on Twitter anywhere?
Yeah, this came from Twitter. Hold on 1 second.
All right. So, what was the exact line? Rox, did you have the exact line of what he said?
I did earlier.
What was it?
I did earlier, and I can't find it now. But it was like, the team's a total disappointment or something like that.
It was an embarrassing display of football.
There it is. Those were Bruce Arians' exact words at the presser. This was an embarrassing display of football. Yeah, that's a quote.
From coach
across the board.
Yeah,
it was.
Well, why don't you get out there and do it, Bruce?
Well, obviously the Bucs lost 36-27. And Coop, what do you have? Set this up.
So this is the audio bite from somebody who was apparently inside the press conference, and he recorded this from his cell phone.
So we don't have to rely on any official video from the Bucs on this.
This cannot be found on the Bucs website or their YouTube page.
Is it clear?
Not really, because it's cell phone audio, and you can kind of make out what he's saying.
Oh, gee. All right, let's hear the best we have. Go ahead.
I think that was an embarrassing display of football.
Oh, yeah, you're right there. That was it. This is an embarrassing display of football.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Fester said that.
Yep.
So, Buccaneers lose 36-27. You had a third-string quarterback. So, Jameis Winston, former Buccaneer quarterback, he got hurt. Apparently, he's got a crab leg injury. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. little joke, because remember he was caught shoplifting with crab legs at Publix up in Tallahassee. Was it Tallahassee?
He was put together on that, by the way.
You think so?
Yeah, the guy gave it to him. Oh, okay. He walks out and they say, he was put together.
All right. So I hope Jameis is okay, but it looks like it could be a season-ending leg injury. That's what they were saying yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Tom Brady gets, talk about getting put together. Tom Brady gets put together. The Bucs get put together by a third-string quarterback named Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian was a big recruit coming out of the Big Ten. He played for Northwestern, and he was drafted with a big draft pick in Denver. Right. But he's never panned out. He's been kind of like a journeyman, and now he's landed fifth string for the Saints.
And he's not related to Siemian Rice, in case anyone, different first name, last name, spelled differently too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, he did a great job yesterday for the Saints.
He did. He completed 16 of 29 passes for 160 yards, right. Touchdown without a turnover, led the Saints on 5 scoring drives that produced 2 touchdowns and 3 field goals.
Wow. And then Bruce Arians also said something about, you know, all the errors. I mean, the Bucs left how many scoring opportunities on the table? Brady was intercepted how many times?
Brady was intercepted 2 times, right, and had a fumble. The Bucs incurred 99 penalty yards in 11 plays.
So they were hit with penalties.
Sloppy.
Bad football. How many sacks? Brady was sacked how many times?
A lot. Too many. I don't know.
Let's go to our live reporter on the Roxanne Sports Network. Roxanne.
How many times he succumbed to the defense?
I do not have that sack stat.
So the Bucs are now 6-2 instead of what should have been 7-1.
Right. And it's a division game. So they're actually now a half game behind the Saints for the division lead.
I say get rid of this Brady guy.
I mean, he really is washed up.
No, he's not.
I mean, seriously.
But seriously, don't you think it's just too much when people start chirping about he can play till he's 55 years old? Then it's setting him up for a game like this. You can't say things like that.
Brady doesn't catch the balls. There's a lot of people on that team.
Did you see Tom Brady's now back into bread?
Okay, hold on.
What?
Yes.
All right, you're... It's I saw this because I get breaking news updates. I have Google alerts.
You're Google alerted on bread?
Oh, no, anytime a fast food place, that's how I knew about the Popeye's rat story so soon. Anytime there's a fast food breaking news story, I get a Google alert.
Right.
And I saw this over the weekend, and it's not what you're making it out to be.
All right, what do you think I'm making it out to be? Okay, smart guy, tell me what the new Tom Brady bread story is.
I can't believe you're even challenging me on this. Of course I know what it is. Okay, so Tom Brady notoriously doesn't eat bread.
Yes.
Right? And he's a spokesman for Subway.
Right.
And in some of the commercials, they even joke, you don't even eat bread.
Right.
And
I wonder if that was part of the original plan or somebody said, you know what? This is kind of hypocritical. Everyone knows that Tom Brady doesn't eat bread, let alone a Subway footlong.
Now he's taking a bite of the bread, but Subway has like this new bread that's like really, really low net carbs or something, right?
Yes, but what's the other part of the story?
Oh, there's two parts.
Tom Brady's an investor in the bread company. He's got a chunk of the bread company.
His bread is like the TB12 bread?
Yeah, like he doesn't have enough bread. Now he's got real bread to try to make
bread.
Bread
and bread.
Yeah. So Tom Brady, 7-time Super Bowl champion. You wouldn't have known it with yesterday's game, but obviously, he's joked about bread consumption. He is nicknamed Bready.
Tom Bready? Okay. Yeah,
remember?
I wouldn't have made that joke.
Instead of Tom Brady, he's Tom Bready.
It's a stretch.
But now he's rolling out the new Hero Bread sandwich, and Brady is an investor. Tom Brady, TB12, is an investor in Hero Labs Incorporated, makers of Hero Bread. Also Kevin Durant.
Okay.
The Weeknd, Lil Baby. They're also investors in this company. Each 6-inch sub roll also features 12 grams of protein, 26 grams of fiber, only 100 calories. But, I guess it's only one net carb, 1 gram net carb.
Isn't that the definition of bread? Carbs?
Yeah, but if you have a regular roll or a it could have maybe 30, 40 grams of carbs. This is only one net gram of carbohydrates, apparently, in this not bread.
Do we know if Tom Brady ate this bread this past week leading up to the game?
Subway cater the locker room.
That's a good question. But Subway is going to be the first chain restaurant to test this Hero Bread, which Tom Brady will eat, and he's an investor. They're testing these rolls for a limited time in Savannah, Georgia, Des Moines, Iowa, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Boise, Idaho, and that's it. So nothing here in Florida or in the... That would make sense to do it in the Tampa Bay area. Why wouldn't they test it here where Tom Brady, you know, plays football?
I think Oprah is also an investor.
I love bread.
Well, Trent Dilfer invested in Bimbo Bakeries back in the day.
No, he didn't.
And it worked out really great for him.
Did he?
I
don't know. He didn't invest in Bimbo. Bimbo bread. All right, when we get back, final segment. I've got the rest of the Hollywood pile. I'm just going through the list here. We got a lot to cover. Next segment is loaded, and it's minutes away here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Don't miss it.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
You got the MJ Morning Show on Q105. MJ and his crew here. I got Roxanne with her little vanity light.
This is my studio, my professional studio. So, don't make fun of it.
We shoot MJ TV here in the studio. So we've got like 5 camera angles and we roll video on segments. And every day on MJMorningShow.com. We have MJTV, and Coop will grab, I don't know what, three, four.
It's been four to five recently.
Video
but
clips.
Just whatever's good.
Yeah, so clips from the show will have video from inside the studio as we do it live on the air. You can watch the videos later in the day and see what it looks like when we're doing it on mic here in the studio live. And Roxanne, she's the only one. She has her own like TV light setup illuminating her. She's the only one in the studio with a glow.
I have a little makeshift studio.
She's
over here.
Lighting herself. She's got baffles on the windows. She's got reflectors.
Uh-huh.
She's got her own lighting director going on.
It's outrageous.
It's really, this really allows me to. I don't even have to wear makeup. As long as you are in good lighting, you don't even. Lighting is everything.
You know that is true.
I wish Christian Bale would come in here and yell at you about your lighting
in TV. Seriously. In TV, lighting, in TV and movies, lighting is almost as important as the freaking camera.
Yeah,
it is.
Show some respect. Light, man, you just light.
That's right. Christian Bale went nuts on a movie set about lighting, didn't he?
That's right. Lighting's important.
All right, you got the MJ Morning Show, so always check. Hey, Coop, what time do the videos go up? Little promo here. About what time do you have MJTV videos starting on the website?
I make sure the podcast is up first, and then once that's done, I try to get it up on the MJTV videos on 11:30, 11-ish.
Right. So the podcast is usually up by 11 a.m., so the whole show is podcast if you miss anything. And, of course, we're on all the major platforms, or you can go to MJMorningShow.com, and then the videos will follow. All right, a lot of stuff to – oh, you know what we got to do tomorrow? I did not have time. If I jam it in here, I'm going to give it short shrift. I don't want to do that. The story broke after we went off the air on Friday. The mom in Orange County who was banned as a volunteer at her kid's elementary school because somebody tipped off the school administration that this sexy mom has got an OnlyFans page.
See how attractive she is?
Yeah, she's hot.
She is ridiculous.
I only want to work events that she's working and volunteering for.
So she was
sign up for those field trips.
She was volunteering at the Sand Lake Elementary. She's got two kids there in the Orlando area. And it turns out mom is an OnlyFans model and makes a ton of money there and is probably a really good mom and wants to volunteer at the school. And they banned her from volunteering because she shows up online on OnlyFans. So
ridiculous.
Yeah, we need to spend good time on that on tomorrow's show. We'll grab some phone calls, so stand by. All right, Rolling Stones. Who went to the Stones? Give us a review. Was Stones good, bad? Did the Stones exceed your expectations on Friday night, or were they meeting your expectations or below? What was your review if you went to see the Stones at Ray J on Friday night? 800-990-1047. I'd like to grab a call or two.
Seems like everybody who's anybody went to the Stones, yeah, according to my Facebook.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends that went. You know, Michelle's favorite song was not on. Oh, let me get Michelle on the phone. Her favorite song was.
Oh, you saw the set list?
Yeah, well, Michelle was looking at the set list. Hang on a minute. And then I think each city, didn't they get to vote online for like a deep cut?
I heard their deep cut was Satisfaction.
No, it wasn't. But every city where the Stones play.
Hello.
The fans, Michelle, hang on a sec. So every city where the Stones play, there's some kind of online poll for people to vote for what deep cut would you like the Stones to do. Now, Michelle, you sort of wanted to go, but then you found out that they're not doing your favorite song, so then you kind of backed.
I didn't sort of want to go. I wanted to go.
So why didn't you badger me? Why didn't you lay?
You have
no problem bossing me on everything else. Why didn't you Why didn't you boss me into the Stones?
Bossing you? No, because there's no use. I've been bossing you for 27 years for the same thing: Rolling Stones tickets every time they came around. And guess what? Nope.
Maybe you can see their opening band next time they come around. The Kidney Stones.
So am I gonna hear the fact that we didn't go to the Stones on Friday night? Am I gonna hear it for the next 27 years?
Yep.
I mean, this is the last tour. They're starting to die off now, right?
Right.
Yeah, they sure are. Well, from the pictures of it, it looked like four ghouls on stage playing.
It was fitting. It was Halloween weekend.
Ooh, welcome.
So, hey, did you see the picture? In my neighborhood, I'm walking the dogs, and the neighbor has one of those like country swings from a tree in the yard.
Yeah.
And they have a skeleton playing a guitar. And I took a picture of that. I said, hey, look, Keith Richards.
Yeah. Actually, the skeleton looks way better.
I think the skeleton actually looked better than Keith Richards.
It's in better shape.
So, Michelle, I want you to think of something that I can do to make it up to you that I didn't take you to the Stones. But you really did. If you said, I want to go to the Stones.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I said, I want to go to the Stones.
She said it on the show.
Right.
Actually, multiple times.
Right. Yeah, numerous, I'd say.
You did not push me to go to the Stones.
Plus, oh, yes, she did.
I think I said all day Friday. I think I screamed it in the house a number of times. Everybody is going to the Stones but me. And you still just walked away.
Do you not speak woman?
Do I not speak woman?
Right.
Angry woman.
I don't speak Michelle. Yeah.
Good job, MJ.
Yeah, Michelle, there's still a bunch of concerts left. I mean, they're still in Florida. At the end of the month, they play in Hollywood.
Hey, so Michelle, which song? But you sort of, you're telling me on Friday you didn't say to me, well, you're kind of off the hook.
No, I didn't say you're kind of off the hook.
You said I'm kind of off the hook.
No.
Oh, what did you say then?
I said the only thing that's making it like smoothing it over with you not taking me is the fact that they are not doing my favorite song.
Which is what?
Beast of Burden.
So they didn't do the song. All right, Michelle, let me grab a call here, okay?
Mm.
I'll see you in a few minutes.
You live with the Beast of Burden. You don't need to hear it.
I'll see you after the show.
Yes.
You hope.
Oh, in your face. She's leaving you. Finally.
Hello. All right, who am I going to, Coop?
Oops, sorry.
Let me see the screen here.
Chico.
Hey, Chico in Lakeland. Hey, Chico, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's good to have you. I appreciate it, man. Listen, the show was awesome, man. And my seats were like dead center, right behind the end zone, the goalpost.
Wow.
They took the post down. I don't even know how they did that, but the goalpost wasn't even there.
Yeah, they come down.
You just knock it over.
But let me tell you something, man. For their age, still, man, they still rock, dude. They kick ass.
You know what? I couldn't find how many people were in, but I know the show. I don't think it sold out. How many empty seats did you see, like in the upper deck?
Man, I'll tell you what. I filmed it on the sides, you know, just to see. You couldn't see an empty seat in the house. The only thing that you could see were the end on their side on the end zones because you can't see nothing. So they didn't sell those seats.
Right.
Behind the stage.
Right.
But everything else looked full. And I didn't know that there was, you know, you buy a general admission, you can go on the floor too. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. There was floor standing room. You could just stand out there and drink and have a good time, man. I was like, wow, man. I didn't know that was there.
Wow.
It was pretty cool.
Cool.
And the Ghost Hounds, the opening act.
Yep.
Never heard of them, but they were awesome, man. They sound good.
Chico, thanks for the review, buddy. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show, and thanks for the review. I appreciate it. Now, the little, you want me to grab another one? Let me grab Spring. Spring. Wonder if Spring leaves in Spring Hill. Hi, Spring. It doesn't say where you're from. Where do you live, Spring?
I'm in Carrollwood.
Awesome. What do you think of the Stones?
They were awesome. So I won some tickets on the radio, and I got to go for free. I sold all my tickets and made $1,000, and I got to go for free.
Wait a minute.
And
so wait a sec. You had tickets that you ended up selling, but then you won tickets on the radio.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. So you went and you made money. That's strong. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in, and I appreciate you giving the review of the show. Now, little inside here. I knew that the show was not a sellout because they were running commercials all last week for the Stones. So I knew that there had to be plenty of seats left. And I heard that seats last week were going for as low as $67 a seat.
So Thursday after the show, we're driving home on Interstate 275, and there's that digital board.
Yep.
And it had the big, all it said was tomorrow. And
the big tongue.
With the big tongue for the zero, the O in tomorrow.
Sure.
And I'm like, they still have plenty of tickets left. They can't give these things away.
The heck with the billboard on I-4. What about the fact that we were running Rolling Stones commercials on Q105 and the MJ Morning Show all last week? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We had commercials running on Friday morning for the Stones. And the minute I heard those spots last week, I'm like, they still have tickets left. And again, I found out they were selling tickets for as low as $67 a ticket to see the Stones.
Dude, I heard that Mick Jagger was at the Wing House just south of the stadium going table to table.
You guys want to see my concert tonight? You guys want to see my concert?
MJ, I don't know if this is true.
Yeah.
I heard at the encore for this concert, and I don't know if they did this here, but the ghost of Charlie Watts comes out and does a drum solo. Is that true?
Are you making this up? Come on, stop it.
No, he really comes out.
The ghost really comes out. No, Froggy's not making it up.
No, I don't think there's a real ghost, but, you know, what are you suggesting, like a hologram?
No, MJ. Oh, my God, a hologram would be awesome.
That would be like they do that with Tupac.
I died a month ago.
They did that with Michael Jackson, yeah. Didn't they do a Michael Jackson hologram
thing? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've missed you the last 60 days. Where are my sticks? They go through his hands.
All right, final lightning round before we get out of here. Did you see a lady got in trouble? Here in Florida, lady down in, what was this, the Miami area? Where was this? Lady in, she's from Hollywood, and this lady was protesting a building being built, and she wore, her Halloween costume was a cardboard building, like a replica of the building, and the police said that she needed a permit for her Halloween costume because it was considered a demonstration.
And wasn't this lady pregnant also?
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. That's a dopey story. And, a refrigerator-sized asteroid came within 2,000 miles of the planet.
I like hearing about this story after it almost hits us.
Yeah. So this would have done some damage. This would have put a mark on something, like a building. A newly discovered asteroid, roughly the size of a fridge, snuck past scientists this week when the space rock came within 2,000 miles of Antarctica. Don't you love those? We didn't see that one. Oh, there it goes.
It's kind of fridge. It could have been a mini fridge. Yeah. Not that devastating.
And hopefully none of our listeners got stuck on this American Airlines crap with, 1,500 flights canceled over the weekend. And what, the CEO of American blame, wind and flight attendants?
Yeah. So Doug's golf clubs were a casualty of this.
Were they smashed and broken? He got little bent sticks back? What happened?
No, he still can't find him. So he flew home Thursday night and they lost him and he's still searching for him.
So the airline has still misplaced his golf clubs?
Yep.
My God.
Does Doug know there's golf courses here?
Yeah. All right, folks.
Travel a lot.
Have a great day. It's the MJ Morning Show on Q105. You want to send me an email, it's MJ@MJMorningShow.com. And the website loaded, MJMorningShow.com, MJMorningShow.com. We'll see you tomorrow, folks, on Q105. And let's be careful out there.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.